I'd like to make a few introductions before I turn the program over to Representative Hill. The three entities that were involved in putting together the details of this meeting today, I'd like to recognize Lincoln County, Ranger Terry Thompson, Legal Counsel Wayne Belmont. Terry, Wayne, you're here someplace. Port of Newport, Manager Kevin Greenwood, and the City of Newport, City Manager Spencer Neal. Spencer, I know he's wandering around here someplace. And last but not least, two people put in a lot of legwork in putting together the details. Actually, my daughter, Katie Jacobson, and Ruby Moon from Extension CRM. A few other introductions. I'd like to introduce Representative Kurt Schrader, sitting to my immediate left. Katie Gauthier, who is representing Senator Jeff Merkley's office. Katie, far end of the table. Chris Graham, Chris, right there, representing Ron Wyden's office. State Senator Arnie Roblin from Coos Bay. Representative David Gomber from Lincoln City. We also have Deborah Boone, who's state representative from Tillamook, back in the back, Tillamook, Clatsop County. Thanks, Debbie, for coming down to the meeting. With that, I'll turn the meeting over to Representative Schrader. Kurt.
Last talk with Bob. Well, I appreciate everyone showing up. Appreciate the Admiral coming. There was concern about that. The community spoke, and we're able to change DC Coast Guard's attitude towards that. The Admiral, I feel, wanted to come all along, but you got to follow orders right in the military. But thanks to your good offices and frankly some of your representatives, your state representatives, that's now happened. The Admiral and I, in particular, so is Senator Merkley and Senator Wyden's office, want to be very respectful of the time, make sure everyone gets a chance to speak. We have to leave at about 7:30. Our offices will continue to stay and take testimony. If you don't get a chance to speak or if you're uncomfortable speaking, please give written testimony to Bob here so that we can actually get all the information before us so we can make our case to the Commandant back in Washington, D.C. That's what this is all about, trying to convince D.C. that they've erred in this particular decision, frankly. It's a question of life and death for folks here on the coast, for gosh sakes. We're going to have lots of comments, probably no questions. That probably is not a good format because then no one will interfere with people's ability to actually speak. If you have specific questions, again, give them to Bob so that we can get to the bottom of some of these things. Should there be information, additional information, we need to get as your representatives to make a good decision and hopefully convince the Coast Guard to change their situation. With that, I'm going to introduce the Admiral. Admiral Gromyka is very familiar with the coast. He's actually served a stint out of the North Bend Station. Interestingly enough, he also served a stint in the Charleston location, where they're also looking at budget reductions due to, frankly, some of the problems we've had in Washington, D.C. Graduated from the Coast Guard in 1983, been around the block, logistics officer, worked his way up through the ranks, respected member of the Coast Guard. He actually now has responsibility for Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Montana, so quite a large area and a tough area, the Pacific Northwest. I'm really pleased the fact that the Admiral actually has some experience with the weather conditions out here and understands a little bit and loves, frankly, his service. We've been talking upstairs a little bit here in Oregon. So with that, I'm going to introduce Admiral Gromyka.
Well, thank you, Congressman, and first I want to extend thanks to the Oregon Congressional Delegation, to your state, your local elected officials, for members of the City of Newport, of the county, of the port, for offering a personal invitation to me to come and join you here this evening. I also wanted to thank you all for your continued support of our Coast Guard men and women in blue. And it's obvious that you care deeply. Your attendance here tonight is just one example of that. the passion that you have demonstrated when word officially got out that the air facility here in Newport was going to close is another example of how much you care for the Coast Guard and what it means. I also wanted to thank particularly the city of Newport for being a Coast Guard city, one of only 16 in the country. I believe you were the fifth one to be designated as a Coast Guard city back in 2005. Again, it shows the support that you have for our military members and their family, and their families. And I can tell you, I appreciate how much that means in communities along the Oregon and Washington coast. As the congressman said, I was fortunate to be stationed at Air Station North Bend from 1990 to 1994. So for a lot of folks in this room, they weren't even born yet. But I was there. I was there when we first, or at least when I reported to North Bend, we were standing the duty at the air facility here in Newport out of an old beat-up trailer. Some of you may remember that. We would leave North Bend in the morning, and we would return just about dark. And then we'd come back the next day, and we'd either fly patrols or training flights, or we'd hang out in the trailer just waiting to see if something happened. And I was here still in 1994 when that beautiful new facility was built, and we started to stand 24-hour watches 7 days a week. I lived in the community in North Bend. My oldest daughter was born there. I served there. I understand what it means to live on the Oregon coast. I understand about storms that come through the area, where on the East Coast we refer to those as hurricanes, and here in the Northwest we call them winter storms. I understand about sneaker waves that rip people from the beach. I understand about rogue waves that capsize boats offshore. I understand the environment that we all live in along the Oregon and Washington coast. And I'm committed to ensure that the Coast Guard, whatever happens, is able to respond and do what it is that we do best. Now, the decision to close the air facility here in Newport, Oregon, as well as the air facility in Charleston, South Carolina, was actually part of the budget submission for fiscal year 14 that was submitted by the president, as many of you know. And the Coast Guard was authorized to close the two facilities as part of our appropriations bill for fiscal year 14 last year. It's a tough environment that we're living in right now, and I know many of you, it's just a tough thing to understand when we're talking about things like sequestration, continuing resolutions like we're under right now, and declining budgets. The Coast Guard's constantly got to make very, very difficult decisions, and I can tell you in my former jobs, back in Washington, D.C., and my last job in Norfolk, I was involved in a lot of those decisions. And it's hard, and it's personal, and rightly so, it's personal. But those decisions are tough ones, and they're made at the highest levels of our organization, and in this case, the final decision to close those air facilities was made by the Commandant of the Coast Guard. And the air facility here in Newport will close on the 30th of November. And even at my level of the Coast Guard, as the Congressman alluded to, I can't do anything about that as far as that closure date or offer to delay the closing in any way. I've got to carry that out. And I know many of you probably came here hoping that you would hear something different. And I'm sorry that I can't tell you anything different. But I will say that in making that decision, the Coast Guard followed a process. I think, particularly when it comes to dealing with our state and local citizens, we didn't do a very good job. That process broke down. And for that, I personally and truly regret the anxiety that that has caused for the local citizens along the Oregon coast. But there is a process that we followed, and there's a process that you're involved in right now to make your concerns heard so that officials higher up the chain understand the impacts of the decisions that have been made. But that's why we're here tonight as well. As you heard, quite honestly, there are some that don't feel that I should be standing up here, but I think I'm the one that needs to stand up here. I need to be able to talk to you. I need to hear what the issues are. I need to hear your concerns. I need to hear your comments. And I can assure you that we will listen. We have been listening. Since the decision was announced, I've listened to the news reports. I've read the newspaper articles, hundreds of them. We've monitored the websites. We've looked at the blogs. I've looked at the petition online and seen the comments that were made. We attended the stakeholders meeting last week that was held. We are listening. We will continue to listen. And I brought with me several of my operational commanders tonight that I'd like to introduce you to if you haven't met them already, because these folks that are sitting here are the local faces of the Coast Guard. They are your Coast Guard. I'm the guy that's up in Seattle. I don't get down here as often as I'd like to, believe me. But these folks are here, and they continue to carry out the Coast Guard's mission that is so absolutely critical to the people of the Oregon and Washington coast. First, let me introduce Captain Todd Trimper. Todd is the commander, Coast Guard Sector North Bend. He's responsible for all Coast Guard operations from the California border up to Cape Lookout. Next to him, CWO Ryan O'Meara, newly arrived. He's the commanding officer of Station Yaquina Bay, right here in Newport. Sitting next to him is Chief Carlos Hessler, and Chief is the executive petty officer at Station Depot Bay. The officer in charge, Senior Chief Dave Pierres, is on Coast Guard business up in Seattle. Couldn't make it tonight, but I asked Chief to be here. These are the folks that are your local coasties. They live in your community. Thank you very much, and that's very deserving. These are the guys that are in the helicopters that are hovering over the water in the middle of the night when the waves are 30 to 40 feet high. They're the ones that jump in those small boats, and they head offshore over breaking bars with no real thought of their safety. But, well, we certainly make sure that they go through their checklist and we make them as safe as they can. They don't question who it is that's out there. It's in need of help. They just do it. And I'll tell you what, I couldn't be more proud of all of them. I've got the utmost confidence in the world in these individuals, that no matter what happens here, they will continue to serve. They will continue to provide what the citizens of the Oregon coast need. We will continue to have Coast Guard helicopters in North Bend and Astoria, Oregon. A little bit further than they are now, certainly, but very technologically advanced. Much, much faster than helicopters that we've had before. Our small boats are incredibly well outfitted, again, very fast, and can do things. Our crews are well trained, better than at any time in the history of the Coast Guard. And I'm confident that working with our local partners, as well as using all the Coast Guard resources that I've got available, we'll be able to continue to provide what you all need here along the Oregon coast. Let me just close. I want to share one story with you, if I could. I got to Seattle last summer. I had not been back to the West Coast since I left in 1994. And I had the chance to go down to Brookings. And we made a swing from Brookings all the way up to Depot Bay. And we visited every Coast Guard unit along the coast. We spent a couple of nights in Coos Bay. And I went down to breakfast one morning at the hotel, and as I was heading back to my hotel room to get my bags to check out, a woman was getting off the elevator as I got on. The door started to close, and she turned around and she said, "Excuse me." I thought maybe she got off on the wrong floor, so I stuck my arm out and held the door, and she started to tear up, and she said, "I'm really sorry. I'm going to get pretty emotional here. But my husband's a commercial fisherman." She said, "I just want to tell you how much I appreciate the Coast Guard." She said, "When he's out on the water, my kids and I can rest at night because we know the Coast Guard's there." As I share that story, I tell people by the time she was done, there were two very, very emotional people in that elevator. I don't know her name. I didn't ask as the elevator door closed, but I can tell you, I think of that young woman, that young mother, that young wife all the time. It reinforces to me the incredible responsibility, the duty that we as public servants have. When we signed up for the call, and I pledge to you my commitment to ensure that when the call goes out, that the Coast Guard will be there to answer the call, to ensure that we're semper paratus, we're always ready, as the Coast Guard has been for well more than 200 years. So again, thank you very much for the invitation to join you tonight. I truly do look forward to hearing your comments, your concerns. As the Congressman said, unfortunately, I do have to leave, but my people will stay here. We will take notes until everyone is satisfied that they were heard. And I can assure you that all that information will get back to me. And again, I just appreciate the invitation, and I appreciate your continued support of our Coast Guard. Thank you very much.
So let's get Jenny Groblish up here to talk a little bit about how this all came about. Thanks to her efforts and a lot of fishermen's wives not too many years ago. Jenny, thank you.
Thank you. Yes, I've been asked to address the history of our air station in accordance to our community. I would like to just touch on the history because most of us know the history. And any remarks that you hear tonight from me or anybody else, please know are not directed to the Coast Guard in this room. They're directed solely to Admiral, to the Commandant, Zumfer, or whatever his name is, Zumfer. We've got Zumfer and Gromlich and Goblich. So, all of our names. Anyway, it goes without saying how much we appreciate the Coast Guard and the fine work you do. Close to 30 years ago, when this community was successful in sighting a Coast Guard search and rescue helicopter in Newport, it was directly as a result of lives lost at sea. We had the most famous sinking was the fishing vessel La Seine. At 7:23 in the morning, a mayday was put out, picked up by the Coast Guard. The skipper, Kenny La Seine, said he was taking on water, the boat was listing. He knew he was in trouble, and he knew it was serious. He got off the radio to go and see if he could find where the water was coming in and came back 4 minutes later and said, we can't get to where the water's coming in. It's coming in the hold, in the fish hold. The Coast Guard said, put your life jackets on, and he said, we've got them on. That was the last transmission from the vessel. An hour and some 3 minutes later, assets were immediately deployed from Astoria, from North Bend, helicopters, cutters, lifeboats from Station Depot Bay in Newport. The first asset on the scene was an hour and 3 minutes later, and it was the helicopter from Astoria. The boat was found floating, hull up, upside down, two men in the water. One looked like he might still be alive. The other was barely at the surface with one arm through a life jacket. That was Kenny La Seine. The helicopter flew Randy Bacon straight to North Lincoln Hospital. They're highly prepared for hypothermia cases. 3 hours later, he was pronounced dead. He never did revive. The other crewman, Gene Ginsburg, was never found. And of course, Kenny La Seine never made it. The helicopter arrived on scene in an hour. 30 years ago, when we started campaigning for the helicopter, we were told that assets would be on scene within 45 minutes. When we were told that the Newport helicopter station was now going to close down, we were reassured that assets would be on the ground. Helicopter assets would be here within an hour. I'm sorry. An hour is not okay. The national standard for the Coast Guard is 2 hours. 2 hours to get on scene during an emergency. We are talking about people in the water. We're not talking about trying to find a lost sailboat. People are still in the boat. We're talking about people in the water. The Coast Guard's own research tells them that you have minutes to be able to put yourself in a position where you might be able to hold on for half an hour before you die. To ask us to say it's okay for 1 hour to pass is not acceptable. It's not acceptable. Not only that, we were never consulted. Nobody talked to us about it. This is all after the fact. We can debate issues. We can debate criteria for hours and hours and days. Bottom line is the Coast Guard's most sacred mission, the mission that you are most proud of carrying out, is search and rescue. Got all this other stuff you have to deal with too, we understand that. Yeah. Bottom line, it's search and rescue. And in this region, in this cold water, an hour is a death sentence. You're not doing search and rescue, you're doing body recovery, period. We ask that not only this decision be reversed, but that our congressional delegation and stakeholders and members of the public have an opportunity to meet with the Coast Guard at the highest levels to discuss these issues so that they know, so they can have a feeling of what it's really like on the ground. If they won't listen to their admirals in the 13th District or their captains in North Bend, for God's sake, what are we going to be able to do? My other comment is that I am extremely disturbed by how all of this was handled. I've gone through the budget, gone through all the justifications and that kind of thing. There was never any discussion about impacts at the local level in cold water areas, not one bit of discussion. But Congress was reassured that assets would be able to fill in the gaps and there would be no disruption to service. Well, that's just not right. I didn't know if it was purposeful or not, but it was not honest. It was not an honest statement made to Congress, and this cannot be tolerated for a basic service that the Coast Guard offers. We want you to do what you were formed to do in the first place and what you excel at and what we appreciate you to do. And that is serve the American public along the coast of America. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you. Well, we're framing the issue, I think, very, very well here. It's very, very important to understand how this all came about and what the real risks are. This is not South Carolina, this isn't the Gulf Coast, it's not the East Coast. We have some local officials that have asked to speak just for a few minutes each. Again, wanted to make sure we maximize the time for everybody out here. Senator Roland first, then we'll have Representative Gomberg, and then Representative Boone, if she's going to do so.
I will keep this short because I really want to hear from all of you. As a kid that grew up in Port Angeles, Washington, with a Coast Guard station there, and then moved to North Bend, Coos Bay, with another Coast Guard station, it's been an important part of my entire life. And as a principal of Marshfield High School, I will tell you that it was more than a few times the understanding that we have the two most dangerous occupations in the world, commercial fishing and timber. Because I had to more than a few times talk to kids about their parents that were lost either at sea or up in the woods. And who was the organization that we depended on getting them out of the woods or getting them off the water? It was the Coast Guard. And I can't say enough about the men and women of the Coast Guard. During my tenure in Coos Bay, we lost a helicopter and the commander of our air station in the surf in Coos Bay. I think that was just after you, or man, it was around the 90s, it was about the same time. And again, in each of those cases, and in the cases of many people sitting here, They were husbands and wives of the kids that came to our school. And growing up in Port Angeles, I had many friends, both Coast Guard kids, as well as members of the fishing community and the timber community, some of whom had to go through the tragic understanding of a lost parent. When I came to the Oregon coast, it was really exciting to see that we really were better covered than we were out in the on the peninsula and other places, and understanding how difficult it is to get to people, first finding them out in that vast ocean, and then getting into the water and getting them out of the water, is something that having that extra hour being here makes all the difference in the world. And so I have encouraged the Coast Guard, along with our Coastal Caucus, made up of Republicans and Democrats, of people who represent the coast, we've also sent a letter to make sure that people understand how serious we take the loss of this station for the overall good of the entire coast. These people help each other from Coast Bay to North Bend, that story, and they cover the area as best they can. I'm actually concerned, and I know Coast Bay is going to be concerned at the recognition of the number of assets that they're actually going to lose. We will not have as many helicopters in Air Station North Bend as we've had before, including the one that's here. That makes me a little nervous as well. You never know how many incidents are going to happen at the same time and how many helicopters or whatever you're going to need, and not having them makes it really difficult. At the airport, the other night, day when we were opening it up again, I said that, you know, one of the things that the state of Oregon has learned is if you want to save money in forest fires, we are the only state in the nation and the only state compared to any other country that can still get a Lloyd's blended fire insurance policy. And the reason we do is we have assets that we pay for on the ground ahead of time, so that when a fire happens, we have airplanes in the air and take care of it quickly. We are the only place in the world that does that as effectively as we do. And that's because we understand that to save money, you spend money. The Coast Guard needs to rethink the whole idea about whether this really saves money or not in the long haul. I hope that they can come to a better conclusion. I know that our congressional delegation is working hard to make it better for all of us. So I thank you for your participation. My heart goes out to families and others who send their loved ones out to that ocean and up into the woods to be loggers, knowing that they're going to have to wait a little longer if an accident does take place. So thank you for being here.
Good afternoon, and Congressman Schrader, the congressional delegation, thank you so much for your advocacy. We are turning to you to carry our message, our passion, our concern back to Washington, D.C., and to change this decision. So I wanted to thank you for those efforts. I want to thank the fishermen and the fishermen wives for their powerful response to this unfortunate situation. I want to thank all of the public officials that are here tonight. And I want to thank the Coast Guard. I want to thank the men and women that are stationed in North Bend and Newport and Depot Bay. These are people that go into dark, cold waters to save strangers, and there is no higher calling, and they have our respect and our appreciation for that. But somehow, somewhere further up the chain of command, someone has lost sight of the mission, and they seem to think that saving money is more important than saving lives here. Newport, as you know, is the home of the largest commercial fishing fleet in Oregon. And people here tonight will tell you that in an emergency, there's not always time to deploy safety equipment and survival suits, that you have a matter of moments to prepare for the inevitable. They will tell you that the waters off Newport, Rhode Island, are different than the waters off Newport Beach, California, and very different from the waters off Newport, Oregon. They will tell you that they have lost loved ones, and that they're concerned that they will lose more. Lincoln County is also the home of the largest charter fleet in Oregon. The recreational boaters are different than commercial fishermen. And any sunny summer afternoon, you will see 1,000 people leaving the port of Depot Bay to watch whales or to go fishing. And they don't have survival suits. They don't have radios. They don't have training. They don't have expertise. They don't have preparation. And yet, should they go into the water, they have half an hour before they don't even have the ability to call out for help or raise an arm. And we're concerned about their safety. And finally, we're concerned about the safety of all those people who come to visit our magnificent beaches every year, and somehow some of them end up in harm's way. They end up in sneaker waves. They end up in riptides. They end up on rocks with the tide coming in. I have not seen any of them carrying a survival suit. And just a few days ago, we pulled six people. You pulled six people off the rocks in Fogarty Beach. We all thank you for that, but we're concerned that the results might have been much different should it have taken an hour to get help onto the scene. And the large number of first responders in the room tonight are evidence that they are concerned that they're going to have to make very difficult decisions about their staff and their volunteers when they don't have the immediate assistance of the Coast Guard over their shoulder when they're looking at these kind of rescues. Now, one other point that I wanted to make, and that is that of the three air stations in Oregon, in Astoria, in North Bend, and here in Newport, only one is above the tsunami inundation zone. Now, we've been told that in the event of a large earthquake that all the aircraft underground will be destroyed anyway, but that may be true if we have an earthquake in a few months or a few years, but let's take the time to prepare. Let's harden our site, let's protect our resources, let's make sure that aircraft are here in the difficult hours after devastation arrives, so that we've got those resources to help us all out. And let's take the time to do that. I certainly would not advocate removing support from the southern Oregon coast, but logic suggests that the right place for your command, for your aircraft, for your maintenance, and your refueling is here in Newport, not someplace else, because you're out of the tsunami zone. Captain Tribbert, sir, thank you for your service. Admiral Gomlich, I have trouble with that, Gomlich. We understand that you have your orders. And I would say to you simply that blind obedience to bad orders does not service the chain of command, the mission, or your uniform well. And I know that you understand the unique circumstances we face here. I would ask you to take that information and take what you hear tonight and urge your superiors to delay this decision, to involve these communities in further discussion, and almost ultimately to overturn what we know to be a bad decision. Thank you so much for being here.
David just gave my speech, so thank you. I'm Deborah Boone. I represent the beautiful Upper Left Coast, just above us here. And so your Coastal Caucus has representation from the north to the south of the state. And I first want to thank all the Coast Guard Coasties in the room. And I represent the Coast Guard City now in Astoria. And you are just revered in my town as you are up and down the coast. We actually, I'll admit it, you don't have to. We take you for granted. We know that when we go out to sea, you're there for us when we need you. Thank you, Admiral, for coming down, and thank you. I don't want to try to name names because I'll forget. I'm here to support this group's mission of keeping the Coast Guard helicopters here. I was up in Kodiak a couple years ago, and we were very lucky to visit their base. While we were there, they got a call from a ship that was out at the end of the chain, and they were going to steam toward the helicopter going out. It's a long way. But this helicopter just come down from Prudhoe Bay, and they had to refit or reload and re-gear and everything. We were waiting an hour before they could even get out of there, and then they got the call that the man had died. If they'd had something out on the end of the chain, he probably could have been saved or at least had a better chance. If they'd had a helicopter stationed in the north, which they need to, so I'm here to say something besides keeping this one. I think we need to add helicopters. Seriously. So I'm hoping that our congressional delegation can pull a rabbit out of the hat, along with our Coast Guard representation, and send this message, a strong message, to the powers that be, that we really just aren't being greedy here. We need this. We need to be able to send our craft fleet out. I have a big craft fleet up north, but you have a bigger one here. With the assurance that when you go out there, probably some pretty nasty weather. I can't even leave the port on a boat. I get sick. So I depend on you to bring it in, and I want to keep you as safe as possible. So you're going to hear a lot of what I would say, and over and over again tonight, and I just agree with all of it. Thank you.
All right. Now to what I hope is the most important part of the evening, and that's hearing from all of you. We've got a lot of people signed up, a lot of groups have signed up. What I thought I'd do to make sure we get a good representation of everybody is we'll take them in order. We're all going to hear from local people. You know, if you're out of town, you're at the end of the list if you want to stick it out. We're going to hear from local people here and local groups. I thought I'd take like three groups at a time, then I'll call up three individuals at a time, and then three groups, three individuals, kind of make sure everyone gets a chance to get a flavor of what's really going on, what's on everyone's hearts as we try to work through this process. With that, we're going to start out with Heather Mann with the Bidwater Trawlers, and we'll end up with Jennifer. Sorry, that's right. David's going to take Heather's place. Well, he's going to try. And then Jennifer Stevenson, and then Michelle Longboard.
Thank you, Congressman Schrader. And I will try. I just noticed today that I'm going to be taking Heather's spot. She's the Executive Director for Bidwater Trawlers Cooperative. And I'm going to read into the record her letter that was sent to the Commandant. Please accept these comments on behalf of Midwater Trawlers Cooperative. Midwater Trawlers Cooperative represents 23 commercial trawl vessels that participate in several fisheries, including both the Adsea, Shoreside Whiting, and Traditional Bottom Trawl fisheries on the West Coast, and Pollock, Cod, and other ground-based fisheries in the Bering Sea and Gulf of Alaska. Thank you. On behalf of Midwater Trawler Company member vessel owners, skippers, crew, and their families, I'm writing to strongly urge you to reverse your decision to eliminate the Coast Guard's air rescue helicopter station currently located in Newport. This is simply a matter of life or death for our fishermen, and I'm convinced that lives will be lost if you remove this critical service in our area. As you are more than well aware, the water temperature in the Pacific Ocean off Oregon are extremely cold. The average temperature in January is 49 degrees. The difference between 15 minutes in the ocean for a human being and 1 hour in the water is basically the difference between a search and rescue mission and a search and recovery mission. All the compelling reasons to originally site the station in Newport not only still exist, they're even greater. Newport is home to a large and diverse commercial and recreational fishing fleet. While I appreciate that technological advances have improved the searching capabilities of the Coast Guard, there is still no better way to find a person in the water than human eyes on a scene from a helicopter. Mariners who end up in the water can be quickly separated from their vessel due to current and other factors. Technological electronic advances are virtually meaningless in these situations. Over the last century, we've lost well over 100 commercial fishermen from Lincoln County. Please not put our committee in the position where more lives will be lost, especially not to save money. Surely there must be some other area budget could be trimmed. How much is one human life worth? To add insult to injury, I am stunned that you made the decision to cease helicopter operations on the first day of the crab season. This is a slap in the face to not just those going out on the water for this dangerous fishery, but to their families and the community as well. On December 11, 2001, we lost a vessel on the opening day of Dungeness crab season. Four souls were lost that day. As a board member of the Newport Fishermen's Wives, I personally spent intervals time with each family that lost a loved one. To this day, I'm haunted by the overwhelming grief of those families. And then, and even now, I don't want families to be in that position, especially when there are things that can be done to prevent these tragedies. I pray no one ever has to look into the eyes of the grieving wife and their children and tell them the chopper just did not make it in time. And this is written by Heather Mann, supported by Midwater Trawlers Property. And my name is David Jinks. I've been a mariner for 48 years. It's been my whole life spent on the ocean as a merchant seaman, licensed Coast Guard, and commercial fisherman, and a very avid ocean recreational fisherman. I've personally experienced losses, vessels and crew. Crew and vessel losses in even the best of conditions are very tough. I have lost a vessel in the best of conditions where the crew were able to don their life survival suits, step off the vessel into a life raft, not get wet, and were picked up. This is the ideal situation. Very seldom in maritime casualties do you ever see the ideal situation. Most of the time, it's severe weather, heavy weather, where your vessel is stressed, your crew is stressed, the captain is stressed. This is when maritime accidents happen. This is when lives are lost. I've experienced one of those tragedies also. And it was my experience, and it was a shock to me, that a vessel that I was a participant of, I wasn't on, but it was lost at sea. And it had three people on board, two crewmen and one captain. And two crewmen were covered in their survival suit. The vessel was equipped with survival suit. The crewmen were deceased. They had drowned in their survival suit. The survival suit isn't a tremendous safety factor with injuries. It's the best thing we have going. It's what you want to go for. But there's so many tests and variables involved with the survival suit that you have to be aware of. But these men did drown in their survival suits because they entered the water rapidly. Their vessel had been compromised. The captain's suit was empty. I told their families that these loved ones were not coming home. The captain of the vessel was not recovered. It was the toughest one because his mom and dad were my mom and dad. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Jennifer Schock Stevenson, and I'm the current president of Newport Fishermen's Wives. I'm a second generation fishing family and the wife of a commercial fisherman and a nurse. I would like to thank our federal, state, county, and city representatives for attending this important town hall meeting, as well as the Port of Newport. I am pleased with the U.S. Coast Guard for reconsidering and sending Rear Admiral Bromlich, and I hope we'll send our message back to the Commandant back in D.C. Our community has shown their disapproval with this hasty decision to close the Newport Air Station. Our online petition is now over 18,000, and signatures and hundreds more are signed on paper petitions. As a second generation member of Newport Fishermen's Wives, my mother was on the original board that spearheaded the placement of the Newport Air Station and fundraised for placement of the hospital helicopter pad. To this day, whenever the helicopter flies over, I recognize the Newport Fishermen's Wives' efforts and the unneeded loss of life that had to occur before placement of this air station in Newport. Since then, numerous air rescues have been attributed to saving lives, and we are lucky to have such brave Coast Guard men and women serving in Newport, our Coast Guard city. The Newport Air Unit gives needed support to our Coast Guard cutters during water rescues and as backup to our local responders. I can say the city of Newport and Newport Fishermen's Wives are very proud of our Coast Guard. Having grown up in a proud fishing family, we are aware of the dangers accompanying this livelihood. My mother carried on with our family affairs during my father's absence, and this is typical of most fishing families. The what-if scenario is never talked about, and I continue by her example and feel lucky that my generation of fishing families have the support of the Newport Coast Guard Air Unit. I can only imagine the insecurity it will cause by its absence. And while the fishing fleet embraces new technology and fishing methods to enhance safety, and even though the Coast Guard has improved response time, the technology is still not available to give us the kind of coverage we need without a local helicopter. The Oregon coast has always been an unsafe and unforgiving environment that requires the deepest respect. A respect established early in my youth with the loss of Ken Lassane, the uncle of my close friend. Their family pain was evident to me as a child as I watched this family continue on the best they could, but nothing could replace a son, a husband, a father. Our small fishing community rallied around the family, and Sydney Lassane poured her grief in campaigning for the Newport Air Station. She never blamed anyone for their loss, but never wanted anyone else to experience the same overwhelming pain. Timing of the Coast Guard Air Station closure one day before the start of Dungeness crab season, identified as the most dangerous fishery in the nation, is ill-advised and a gamble with human lives. It is very common for high surf and bar closures to occur during this time, and all the more reason for the Newport Air Station not to be closed. This year, as the boats pass their lines, their farewells will be felt a little longer, with the knowledge that our Newport Coast Guard helicopter station is empty. We are but servants to the
see, allowed to make a decent living for our family in hopes to watch them grow. As president of the Newport Fishermen's Wives, the hardest part of my job is placing another name on our memorial, writing a check of support, and greeting another grieving family at our annual blessing of the fleet. In closing, I would like to read Fisherman's Prayer. God grant me that I may live to fish until my dying day, and when it comes to my last cast, I then most humbly pray, when in the Lord's safe landing net, I am peacefully asleep, that in his mercy I be judged as big enough to keep. On behalf of Newport Fishermen's Wives, I would like to present the signatures of 18,000 petitions signed and numerous letters of support. Admiral Bromlish, could you please assure that these petitions are presented to the Commandant in D.C.? Thank you.
Ride the waves. Families stroll the sands. Hundreds of recreational fishermen in individual or charter vessels make thousands of trips across the bar, going miles offshore in search of that halibut or tuna. We're home to NOAA's Pacific Fleet. Government scientists and Oregon State University students fly our waters. All these ocean-going groups have been served by the presence of Newport's rescue helicopter. A significance to me is the crucial importance of the helicopter to the safety of our commercial fishing fleet. My husband and son and our crew fish for Dungeness crab and sablefish out of Newport. Over 250 commercial fishing vessels call Newport home, and twice that many vessels from California to Alaska travel the seas and come to Newport to deliver fish. Still, the Coast Guard has slated Newport's helicopter for elimination, effective the first day of Dungeness crab season, a fishery recognized by both the Coast Guard and the National Institute of the Occupational Safety and Health as one of the deadliest in the nation. In justifying the cut, the Coast Guard stated that the helicopter in North Bend will only be, an hour's flight time away, and that is within the national standards. Maybe for the Gulf of Mexico, but certainly not for the frigid waters of the Pacific Northwest. And that hour of flight time, it will be longer than that after incident verification, asset allocation, and pre-flight checks. What happens when you are overboard in the waters of the Pacific? You might have 30 to 60 minutes of useful consciousness. Hypothermia sets in almost immediately. Your arms and your legs are no longer of any use to you. Unless timely rescued, you die a torturous death. Fighting for your life in panic, you gulp salt water into your lungs, causing spasms, which cuts off air supply and buildup of lactic acid occurs. You experience severe burning pain. Convulsions ensue, heart failure occurs, and all that time, you know you're going to die. In 2001, our son, Ben Etter, and three of our crew members, Rob Thompson, Jared Hamrick, and Steve Langlon, died at sea when our vessel capsized on the first day of crab season. They were in the ocean for an hour before their overturned boat was discovered by another fishing vessel and the Coast Guard notified. Our men had been in the freezing waters too long to survive. Please stop. Stop telling people that a helicopter arriving in an hour will be fine. We urge you to restore funding in your budget for this essential life-saving flight. Your budget document? Yes, I've skimmed the 500 pages or so. And in case the Admiral says he cannot find room in his budget to fund our air facility, let me make a few suggestions. Admiral, maybe the Coast Guard doesn't need to build a new small arms shooting range in Virginia that is in your budget for 2015 and will cost over $8 million. Maybe, just maybe, the senior executive service personnel you employ and already pay $242,000 annually. Maybe they don't need that raise this year that you have included in your budget. Maybe one of those many defense contractors, like Booz Allen, hired to build multi-million dollar assets, just maybe you could trim them back a bit. Yeah. Certainly enough to fund our air facility. Oh, and that motion picture and TV office, maybe that could be cut back too. Admiral, don't tell me Congress or the President has forced the closure of the Newport Air Facility by cutting your budget. Tell me instead that funding the Coast Guard's core mission of search and rescue is of the highest priority to you. As Jimmy Goldblush has done previously, I served as the member of the Coast Guard's very own National Commercial Fishing Vessel Safety Advisory Committee in D.C. Dan Harden, the 13th District Safety Examiner, Ken Lawrenson, Mike Rudolph, Kurt Farrell, we have opened our homes, our boats, and our hearts to them because we trust they and you would walk with us to help improve safety at sea. And when things go wrong out there, as they sometimes do, we trust that the rescue helicopter will be there in minutes. The commercial fishing industry has made significant advances in safety. We have survival suits and life rafts, E-perbs to locate vessels. We take safety classes. We train and we drill. We voluntarily have our vessels examined for safety. But nothing, nothing replaces a swift rescue. In closing, let me say that we are very grateful for the Yaquina Bay and Depot Bay Station Coast Guard's presence and service in our community. In fulfilling your mission of search and rescue, you risk your own lives to try and save a stranger. That is the highest calling. But we need, and you need, to take the message to the Admiral that he must give you the tools with which to carry out your life-saving missions. Thank you.
Get three other groups come up and testify, please. I get Joshua Williams with Depot Bay Fire, the Reverend Jennifer, David, Jim Geisinger, and Jim Golsey, please.
Newport Air Facility is a mistake. I believe this closure will ultimately cost someone their life. I do not understand how the Coast Guard can be happy with a one-hour response time especially when our communities have response times that are much quicker. How will your national standards be compared for the non-mariner, which is what I am? What about the people stranded in coves with an incoming tide? What about the person clinging to the side of a cliff? And what about the people stranded on rocks? Faster helicopters and improved beacons will not help in these instances. The rescue that occurred on October 11th in Depot Bay is a prime example of why the Coast Guard Air Station must remain. You can stand all the facts you want about two-hour standards, but I can tell you as an emergency responder on the ground, on scene, 2 hours would have been far too long. The helicopter from Newport was on my scene quickly enough to save these people's lives. Now you are asking the local police, public, fire agencies to simply stand idle for an hour plus response. I refuse to stand idle and watch our resources be redistributed. How am I supposed to feel as a coastal fire chief knowing that when I have someone in the water, my local Coast Guard unit will come to the scene, but does not have enough people nor have the training to enter the water and effect a rescue? I have been told that the risk is far too great to enter the surf around here, and that you can only train someone so many times, and they can only be good at so many things. Where does that end? This is how I feel about our local responders. We cannot do any more. There are only a handful of fire agencies in Lincoln County that enter the water. And we have also learned that there is at least one of these agencies that may be rethinking their deployment, knowing that the Coast Guard is going to be so far away. As a coastal fire chief, the United States Coast Guard is my plan A. And unfortunately, I have no plan B in my playbook. Admiral, you know why I do not allow Depot Bay firefighters in the water? Other than the obvious danger factor, it's because I don't have to. The Coast Guard does it for me. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Jim Geisinger. I represent Associated Oregon Loggers. We're a trade organization that represents over 1,000 contract logging companies in Oregon, almost exclusively small family-owned businesses, and much like the fishing industry, are owned by second, third, and even fourth generation family members. Most of the press accounts of this issue have focused on the commercial fishing fleet here in Newport, and rightfully so. But I'm here this evening to let you know that this issue is just as important to the logging community and the broader forest products industry. Over a third of our members operate on the Central Coast in the geographic area covered by the helicopter rescue facility here in Newport. There are thousands of logging employees that go into the woods every day. They operate in very remote locations, accessible by helicopter in a matter of minutes, and accessible by ambulances in hours, if at all. So I'm here to say that the safety of loggers in Oregon is at stake at the same intensity and sincerity as the fishing community has expressed here this evening. I find the timing of this closure rather ironic. I've lived in Oregon for over 40 years. I'm not a native, and I never will be, but I've been here a long, long time. And I think the Port of Newport is on a roll, and this community is on a roll. You have no fisheries research facilities here now. The OSU research vessels are here. There will likely be a log export facility built at the port sometime next year, increasing the significance and the presence of the forest products industry, in addition to the commercial fishing fleet. There are many, many reasons not to close this facility, and I would support Representative Boone's observation that maybe it's time to increase the presence of the Coast Guard and its rescue capability. I guess I'd also like to point out that I understand a little bit about the government's budgeting process, and I appreciate the Admiral's explanation of the fiscal year 2014 budget. But the government's fiscal 2014 ended on September 30th. And I don't know about anyone else in this room, but I didn't hear about this closure until about 2 weeks ago after the end of the fiscal year. If I had known about this proposed closure, if I had known in the summertime, we would have been in Congressman Schrader's office in his face telling him that this should not happen. And we could have taken advantages of opportunities that have occurred between that time and September 30th. Continuing resolutions were mentioned. We're operating under one now. One was approved by Congress before they recessed for the election. There was an opportunity to find supplemental funding to keep this facility open, but we missed it simply because we did not know about it. And most of us are not students of the federal government's budget. We don't have the time, the patience, or the know-how to examine it, much like you were able to do. So I think it's a little bit disingenuous to say that our hands are tied when we've missed opportunities to correct this very, very wrong-headed decision. I'd like to also close by pointing out something that's obvious to everybody in this room. We are independent employers here in Oregon. We employ people, we sign paychecks, we pay taxes, we make large contributions to the federal government, and we don't expect a lot in return. And I don't think that maintaining a facility to keep our workers safe is too much for us to ask, given the huge contributions that we make to our government's functioning. So I would encourage you to do everything you can to reevaluate this decision. Our congressional delegation has some time, although not much, to pull a rabbit out of the hat, as was mentioned by previous speakers, but I think it can be done. I do not think that the cost of the U.S. Coast Guard is so great that it can't afford to provide safety for employers in this area. Thank you.
Jim, do you want to say something quick? Because you're with the other Jim.
Thank you. I will not repeat what Jim Geisinger said. I'm here also speaking for the OSHA Forest Activities Advisory Committee. We're a group of industry people, consultants, educators, loggers, and other people who meet quarterly to advise Oregon OSHA on issues related to worker safety and regulation. Along with Associated Oregon Loggers, which I represent as a past president, and my own employees, we're all very concerned about removing the helicopter at Newport and repositioning it in North Bend. The helicopter for us provides a very unique, a unique piece of equipment that typically air ambulances do not possess, and that is hoist capability. Many times on our job sites, we're on extremely steep ground, brushy conditions, and we may be up to a half a mile from the nearest road. The only way to safely access our people and get them to medical attention in a timely manner is with hoist capability. There are no other entities that have that capability on the availability that the Coast Guard has. The National Guard, based out of Salem, has hoist. They have night capability. They have inclement weather capability, but their availability is not as readily as that of the Coast Guard, especially here in Newport. Jim mentioned that there are a third of our membership out in the forest within the zone that is covered by the Newport helicopter. There are also other workers in the area. There are tree planters, there are commercial thinners, there are foresters, people marking timber sales. All of those people within that 3,000 square mile area that would be covered by the Newport helicopter, that is roughly 2 million acres of forest and or steep forest land. A lot of ground to cover and a lot of people out there doing things at risk. My company is based in Brickfield, which is west of Salem. I have about 30 employees all working, and all of them on steeper ground and rough terrain. Currently, we have two job sites that are 30 miles from Newport, just west of Dallas. Those people are going to be on steep slopes, slopes on these job sites range from 30 to 100%. Some of the ground is very brushy with rock and bluffs. The distance, the furthest distance from the road on that site is 1,500 feet. It's not uncommon for job sites in our working area to have people that will be at least a half a mile from the road at 1,500 foot of elevation change to the bottom. It's very difficult to get people up those hillsides, especially when you're packing there. We've had several experiences in our career with helicopter evacuations, six to be exact. One of them required, we requested Coast Guard assistance, and they were 2 hours out. We were unable to wait due to the health of the deteriorating condition of our employee. So we had to take other means in order to get that employee up to the roadside to medical attention. That put our employee at greater risk, certainly. It also put the rescuers at greater risk, having to use that type of a system that is much more dangerous than having the helicopter available. The coverage of Newport Station, as I mentioned, is about 3,000 miles by my estimate. So there's going to be roughly 2,000 people out there doing the work on Steve Grant. I and the people that I'm representing strongly urge reconsideration on the decision to move the helicopters. Certainly the service and aid to maritime workers and recreationalists is well known and greatly appreciated. With regard to the thousands of forest workers, there is no substitute for the capabilities and availability of the Coast Guard helicopter station in Newport. Thank you.
So let's get Brian Hudson, Kate Easley, and Sarah Scantzer, please.
I got number two. My one. Brian Hudson. I'm a retired military officer, so I've sat in some of those same positions you've been in and made some of those unpopular decisions. But when I was the military I served in, the issues there seldom impacted the immediate population. Nothing like this one. It was always internal and mission-oriented, and the missions were quite different. I'm also the SAM Trout Enhancement Program representative for the Midcoast from Lincoln City to Florence. We raise the bulk of the hatchery fish on this coast, and in that respect, we bring a lot of fishermen into the ocean and into our rivers. I can find nothing but negative in this decision to remove the helicopter support and the SAR capability in this town. I find nothing positive about it at all. As I suspected, it was a operational cost decision. Sat in a lot of those too, but I also suspected, it was poorly staffed. That doesn't mean the quality of the guy doing the work was poor. It's the way they went about it. There was no public input, as far as I can see, nothing that counted. And when you're dealing with public as the outcome of your decision, you have to involve. At worst, it was an insult to the people that you serve, and actually, in some respects, an insult to yourself. It should have been done better. Until somebody stands tall in Washington and tells the combat to find the money, I think it could be found. I've usually found it to be true. The Semper Paratus motto there, always prepared, kind of rings hollow in my mind. Thank you.
Some of the private recreational people just the little guys that go out on the water once in a while. This is my story. In February of 1998, my husband, Ken Heasley, and our family friend, Gary Gelson, were lost in a boating accident on the Alsea Bay. The Coast Guard was notified within minutes of the boat capsizing. However, the helicopter was in North Bend, more than half an hour away from the scene. The Coast Guard was alerted to the water rescue at 1:30 p.m. My husband was last seen standing on a sandbar in Alsea Bay at 1:52. The helicopter reached Alsea Bay at 2:02 p.m., 10 minutes too late. A review of the events stated the usual response time from Newport to the Alsea Bay is 8 to 10 minutes. So many things worked against a successful rescue that afternoon. The AHATS Water Rescue Squad responded in minutes, but their watercraft was damaged en route. The Surf Interagency Rescue Squad craft was also unusable that day due to a malfunctioning motor. The Coast Guard helicopter was at the southernmost point on its daily route. That is my story. However, the proposed closure of the Newport Coast Guard helicopter station guarantees that this will be the story of countless other families. Thank you.
My name is Sarah Scanser. I am a former commercial fisherman. I am past president of the Newport Fishermen's Wives and co-owner of Fowler Patrol. We are all here tonight to show our congressional delegation, the governor's office, and the Coast Guard commanders that we deserve to be a part of this conversation. We are asking for a delay to carrying out the orders to close the air facility in Newport so this can be revisited with the participation of local and regional representation. It boggles the mind that the United States Coast Guard has done an about-face on the safety of our fishermen and the greater maritime community in Oregon. We have come to rely on the air facility in Newport, which has been manned courageously and professionally for almost 30 years. In the same 30 years, the fishing fleet has worked at increasing the quality of vessel equipment, crew safety and survival training, and first aid, while also leading the way in innovations in harvesting wild-caught seafood sustainably for consumption throughout the globe. All the growth and innovations in our maritime community here in Newport has come from strong leadership within the fishing, research, governmental, and higher education communities, working in collaboration and by having open conversations with each other. You may say I am a dreamer, but my hope is that future headlines read, Newport fishermen, ocean users, and federal government work together to overcome sequester budget cuts to keep the helicopter facility in Newport.
We get Mr. Baker's been very patient. William Mortimer and Charlie Flatborn come up.
Good evening. I'm Willie Mortimer. I am the deck captain here for the American Red Cross. And I am here to say thank you to all of you, because all of you, including our esteemed members of the Coast Guard and everyone else, is our clients. We are here to serve you, but we can't serve you unless you can get to shore. So we are in very big support of keeping our rescue helicopter here. I am the one that you will see in the next tsunami. I will be there to greet you at the door of the rescue center. And I have done it in the past, and I will continue to do it whether the Red Cross has an office here or not, the volunteers are here to serve you. Most of us, like myself, as you can see, are members of other volunteer organizations here in Lincoln County. And yes, I am a resident. I live right there across the bay. We have members of the American Red Cross right here that are on my team, the Disaster Assistant or Disaster Action Team, whichever is needed at the time, that are members of the Coast Guard Auxiliary. We also have members that are on their volunteer fire department. And all of those volunteers here in Newport are here to serve you. You are our clients, and you are the ones that are important to us. But we can only help you if you can get to shore. Be it in the bay or be it out to sea, we can only help you if you can get to shore. And they're the ones that can help you get to shore. The Red Cross has always been a big, big supporter of our armed forces. We have a special section where members of the armed forces can call in to us and we will help them out. We can arrange for a place for them to stay if they have someone coming in. Like I said, thank you, thank you, thank you for all of you showing up here this evening, because you are our clients and we are here to serve you. Keep our helicopter, please. Thank you very much.
Don Baker, Fire Chief, New Lincoln Fire and Rescue. Our agency is one of the few fire agencies in Lincoln County that deploy water rescue swimmers. We have a team of 12. We have approximately 8 to 12 trained swimmers. They are all volunteer. They deploy on personal motorized watercraft, and they are state certified to engage in that. We've been engaged in this type of activity for over 4 decades. One of the first agencies to utilize PWCs in water rescue in the United States. As you know, Lincoln City is the area that we cover. We have the Siletz Bay that has 3 waterways that empty and across the bar that is not managed. The model of rescue that we follow was put together approximately 20 years ago with the assistance of the Chief of Depot Bay, and that is the Coast Guard Chief of Depot Bay, that we set up an operational model that our swimmers will engage in rescues from surf line to shore and inland waters, and the Coast Guard would not cross the bar unless that we needed assistance because of the dangers of crossing that. So why we are there is very much was determined by the resources and assets that the Coast Guard have. The fastest boat when in station is out of Depot Bay and it's 40 minutes out. We do a risk assessment as you do every time that we deploy. You are part of that risk assessment. I'm here to deliver the message that I do not believe that when you did your assessments of your resources, that you thought about the impact you would have on local resources that are relying on your resources to engage. So a typical scenario is we will deploy, assuming that our volunteers are able to respond, and we can be on site and ready to deploy in the water in 15 to 20 minutes. At that time, your boats are still too far away for us to consider them a rescue asset for our folks. But your helo, if it's deploying out of Newport, will be in the air at approximately the same time. Our on-site incident command sets up direct communications with your resources, and once we know that helo is in the air and coming out of Newport, we consider that a resource on scene. Therefore, with two swimmers and one PWC, we can effect a rescue, where otherwise we would not be able to engage in that rescue unless we were able to have a second ski, second set. And again, keep in mind, surf line in. Many times we'll get rip currents that carry the victims beyond the surf line. A couple other operational points I've not heard made tonight was the operational time on scene for that asset, for that air asset. Once it does arrive, there's been rescues where we are trying to locate victims, and that helo is the best tool by far to do that. Because the longer it takes to get there, the further the currents and tides are going to carry these victims in the water, the more difficult and the larger area you're going to have to search, and you're going to have less time to do it because they've already been in the air 1 hour, and we know that they have so many minutes that they're going to operate under. So in the summary here, I would like to see the Coast Guard, when they make these analyses on how they're going to deploy their resources, to stop and consider how their resources are being relied on other rescue efforts, because you are not only impacting what you can do, but what we can do locally. Thank you.
Thank you very much, everyone, for being here this evening and for the opportunity to speak. For the record, my name is Charlie Plyben, and I'm the Oregon Fuel Manager for Surf Rider Foundation. Policy Manager. I'm still getting used to my new position. Sorry about that. We're a nonprofit organization dedicated to the protection and enjoyment of oceans, waves, and beaches. And I'm here tonight on behalf of our Newport, our Siusala, and Portland chapters in strong opposition to the closure decision for the air facility here in Newport. As an organization, we feel that this closure will put many ocean recreational users, visitors, and beachgoers at a risk along the Central Oregon coast. We stand by our local ports and fishing community in opposition to this decision, but we feel that the ocean recreational community, beachgoers, and visitors to the Central Oregon coast have not yet been appropriately factored into the Coast Guard's analysis for closing the Newport Air operations and consolidating its resources in North Bend. Surf Rider Foundation participated in the stakeholder meeting on October 15th, where the Coast Guard provided an overview and partial analysis for the decision. Surf Rider finds two fundamental flaws in this analysis that we believe need to be addressed prior to any move of the Coast Guard air operations from Newport. Number one, a downward trend in U.S. Coast Guard search and rescue operations was detailed on a national and West Coast-wide scale that we do not believe translates locally, and more importantly, is not reflective of high priority rescues of the shoreside and non-boater recreational users. If we were to remove at-sea boater rescues and analyze the statistic for shoreside recreational rescues, we believe that trend is actually going up, creating a greater demand for these resources on the Central Oregon coast. Anecdotally, we've heard from tonight and other folks that all of these local and fire and rescue groups are also seeing these sorts of rescue operations increase along the Central Oregon coast. After the meeting, I spoke with a commander from the South Bend or North Bend U.S. Coast Guard Station who also agreed with me in thinking that this trend in shoreside rescues is going up. Surf Rider Foundation conducted a recreational ocean use study for the state's territorial sea planning process, and we found that in Lincoln County, comparing to other communities along the Oregon coast, we have the highest concentration of recreational activities than anywhere else on the coast of Oregon. We can also look at the state parks visitors counts, and we'll notice that the highest, most visited state parks in the state of Oregon, in the coastal state of Oregon, are right here in Lincoln County. Surf Rider Foundation formally requests that these statistics be provided as they relate to shoreside and non-boater recreational rescues and appropriately factored into risk analysis for closing air facility operations in Newport. Number two, The nature of non-boater and shoreside recreational rescues are such that they do not align with risk analysis associated with cold water exposure and hypothermia. This case was demonstrated in crystal clear high-definition news coverage just 2 weeks ago at Fogarty Creek State Park. I don't think I need to recount the events that day, but it's just another example of how a day at the beach can become deadly in minutes, not an hour, and certainly not 2 hours. These individuals are not equipped with radios, they're not equipped with immersion suits. They likely have no training at all in cold water survival training. We ask that a further analysis of cold water survival be examined and considered for recreational users in this extreme shoreside and surf conditions, given the high concentrations of use here in this area. We have a deep respect and appreciation for the Coast Guard services that the Central Coast helicopter operations have provided. They're our friends, they're our neighbors, and they're our local heroes. I can sit before you right now and I can tear apart these analyses. We can argue about why the decision can be rationalized by those who make decisions, but they will never be accepted by this community. There's no way to rationalize lives. We will never arrive at an acceptable justification of a decision that puts our families, friends, and visitors to our community at mortal risk. We are strong in Newport and the greater Lincoln County community, and what we need is a path forward to retain the air operations in Newport. Let's cut the analysis of lives and search and rescue operations and talk about a retention strategy. There isn't a price tag and there isn't an obstacle that would prevent anyone in this room from finding a solution. If you need us to pack our bags and head to DC, we'll be there tomorrow. Thank you.
So let's go back to some individuals. Let's get John McKinney, Roberta Baxter, and Janet Jackson up. You can make your way up here, go run after that way, you can really get a lot of folks in.
Watch them rolling in the dough. I can't rule this place alone as a split in the GOP. We've got an unruly herd of cats in a party they call tea. They too, we pray, are wanted down on K Street and on C. They don't go along or get along, but on one thing we agree. There's just 1% of us worth rolling in the dough. That's enough. By the way, you pronounce Yon Ginsburg's name as Yon. My friend, my wife's Yon.
Good evening. As a resident of Newport, everybody here has spoken very eloquent this evening and will continue to do so. But I tend to be a little more frank and upfront. I want you guys to go back, and I want you to ask those that are about to make the final decision about our fishermen and their lives. We don't really give a good darn about the chump change that you may save. What we care about is, did you factor into your budget the funerals that will happen, the cost of what it will take these wives and their children to try and rebuild when their husbands are gone, because and their only financial resources are gone. What about those that have businesses year-round here that have to depend upon our tourists? As the death toll rises, the tourists will go home. They will go elsewhere where it is safe, where they can come to our oceans and feel safe. When you, all I want to know is, did you factor that into it? We don't believe so. I believe that you people have played politics, hidden this as long as you can, right down to the end. And if you could have slipped this underneath us without knowing it, our helicopter would have been gone, and we would have been none the wiser. This is wrong. Stop playing politics. Start cutting more from the top instead of the bottom all the time. Because these people have to live here, work here, and depend upon you guys to take care of us when we're out there. Did you factor in what it's going to cost when you go to the store and your seafood has rocketed in price? Because you forced our commercial fishermen to have to go to other ports to make their living because they can't count on you guys to do the right thing. Anybody sitting here along this table whose eyes are directed down towards the floor, perhaps you should think and use your powers for good instead of manipulation all the time. We don't care about the chump change, you might say. We care about the lives and our community and the tourists that come here each and every year. Do your job for a change. Just do your job.
I was stationed here 3 times in my career. I haven't even probably washed my dental throat or wash over the years. Folks, this is more than just an hour. Captain, correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys cover from Pacific City to the California border, losing 1 kilo out of Newport. How many more out of North End? 2 more? Oh, all right. It's not just the hour addition to get. It is the on-scene time. You can't search for people if you don't have enough fuel. I don't care if you're in a boat or if you're in a helicopter. If you launch out of Newport, you go out 50 miles in a 50-knot storm, you have a fuel opportunity that you can operate in. You come out of North Bend, it's going to take a little bit longer and a little more fuel. I have searched for peoples in the water for the majority of my Coast Guard career. I was stationed, again, 3 times in Newport, Helma, Reedsport, TAV down to Pittsburgh, I ran the Vancouver River Patrol. I can tell you guys, and you, especially the politicians, because you're the guys doing this. That admiral is probably one of the best guys in this whole dialogue on the table because he still has to follow orders. Here's what's given to him. This is great. Hey, if they voted to do the military sequester, the Coast Guard gets hit. If they cut Homeland Security, the Coast Guard gets hit. It's a double whammy. When I joined the Coast Guard in 74, we were under the Department of Transportation. I remember my boss was talking about when they were under the Department of Treasury, you couldn't get a nickel out of those guys. They're taking the nickels away again. We're going to send 3,000 military guys to go fight Ebola in a country and not protect them, and we can't protect the lousy helicopter? This is our country. You are
right, let's go back to the groups. Get David Allen up, Bob Schimmel, and Jan Power, please.
Good evening, Admiral. Thank you for being here tonight. Appreciate it. My name is David Allen. I currently serve as Vice Chair of the State Ocean Policy Advisory Council, and I'm here tonight on their behalf. Separate from that, I also serve as a member of the Newport City Council. OPAC, I'll say it for short, is a statutory advisory body to the Governor's Office, natural resource agencies here in the state, and local governments. Its membership is comprised of fishery representatives, including commercial, recreational, sport, and charter. It also includes local governments, which is the cities, the port districts, and the counties, conservation representatives, both coastal and statewide, coastal non-fishing recreation representatives, the public at large, coastal tribes, the governor's office, and a number of natural resource agencies. At its meeting last week here in Newport, OPAC unanimously supported sending you a letter tonight on their behalf, and I have a copy of that letter with me tonight, signed by myself and the chair of OPAC, Scott McMullen, who is not here tonight, but he appreciates you being here. He's the commercial representative, commercial fisheries representative on the North Coast. So, copies of this letter will also be sent to the Commandant, the Vice Commandant. In fact, I put those in the mail, certified mail today. Also, Governor Kitzhaber, our Oregon Congressional Delegation, our Oregon Coastal Caucus, which is our coastal legislators, and you've heard from some of them tonight, the Newport Fishermen's Wives Association, and OPAC members. And you'll see on the side of this letter a copy of all the representatives on OPAC. There's close to 25. So here's the letter that we would like to read to you tonight, and I'd like to put it into the record. Dear Admiral Gromlich, the Oregon Ocean Policy Advisory Council is the state's legislatively mandated marine policy advisory body to the governor, state agencies, and local governments. Although we are not an advisory body to the federal government, we do want to provide comments on the proposal to close the helicopter air facility in Newport, Oregon. This is not just a local issue, it has statewide and regional implications. Fishermen from all along the coast, residents and visitors alike, fish off the central Oregon coast. This includes commercial as well as charter, sport, and recreational fisheries. Citizens from throughout the state and elsewhere recreate on the central Oregon coast. This includes activities such as surfing, kayaking, and others. In addition, a growing ocean research fleet, both federal and state vessels, has a significant presence on the central Oregon coast. Closing the air facility at Newport could result in a loss of life due to the slower response time resulting from deploying a helicopter from the remaining air stations at either Astoria, Oregon, or North Bend, Oregon. The air facility in Newport was opened to fill a gap in quick response coverage on the Oregon coast. Closing this facility would result in longer transit times to marine casualties or accidents on the central Oregon coast, and greatly reduced search times once the helicopter does arrive. The water temperatures off the Oregon coast are generally between 50 to 59 degrees Fahrenheit year-round. At these temperatures, a victim's survival time in the ocean is measured in minutes. Adding an additional 45 minutes in response time could change a U.S. Coast Guard flight from a life-saving mission to one of recovering bodies. In the ports of Newport and Depot Bay, charter boat operators carry hundreds of passengers each day. As a practical matter, it would be difficult, if not impossible, to equip boats and educate passengers in the use of cold water immersion suits. As such, response time is critical and remains a huge issue. Moreover, Lincoln County is host to the most visited coastal state park in Oregon, serving over 1 million visitors annually. As the general trend of search and rescue increases for non-boater recreational users, closing the air facility at Newport would not only put these users at greater risk in the area of highest concentration of use on the Oregon coast, but it would also put the lives of other local emergency responders at risk that depend on helicopter operation support. Furthermore, closing the air facility at Newport would impact other Coast Guard stations in the region, putting at risk both rescuers and victims alike. And unlike Astoria and North Bend, the air facility at Newport is outside the tsunami inundation zone in the event of a major earthquake. That alone should be reason enough to retain the air facility at Newport. We understand that with the additional responsibilities for Homeland Security, the Coast Guard has had to stretch its budget. Please let us know what can be done to encourage Congress to fully fund the search and rescue needs of the Coast Guard. The U.S. Coast Guard's national standard for helicopter on-scene response time is 2 hours. This standard is applied nationwide. Survival rates are variable, with cold water immersion being the most likely scenario where loss of life occurs in an hour or less, depending on conditions. We ask that informed stakeholders have the opportunity to review this standard and work in partnership with the Coast Guard to further refine response time standards based in, at least in part, on average water temperatures, cold versus warm, in each U.S. Coast Guard district. Final paragraph. As the Commandant said in his Direction 2014 document, the U.S. Coast Guard will ensure readiness for all missions, maintain operational focus on prevention and response, and pursue excellence in mission execution and support. With that said, OPEC unanimously supported at its October 16, 2014 meeting that U.S. Coast Guard readiness for missions continue to include the helicopter air facility in Newport, Oregon. Best regards, the Oregon Ocean Policy Advisory Council.
Bud Schumake, I'm the port manager for the Port of Toledo. We're about 14 river miles from Newport up the Yukwena. And I'm here to support in the Port of Toledo. We have a meeting tomorrow night where we actually have a resolution of support for the helicopter. But we provide haul-out facility, boatyards, and the support service field along with our commercial fishing fleet and our recreational fleet. I was a harbor master in Newport when the helicopter came to Newport, and I know what brought it there. There was lives that brought it there. And I'm just, I can't believe the timing. It's terrible, but I'm afraid that we can't turn this around, that it's gonna take a lot more lives, and that's what the stake is, lives. Thank you.
Commissioner on the Port of Owl Sea in Waltsport, Oregon. We're probably the only non-navigable waterway that does not have a viable passage to the sea. However, we are a very highly used recreational crabbing and fishery, and we do have our 6 commercial crabbers in the port. On behalf of the port, I'd like to have our support in the efforts to retain the helicopter entered into the record. Because we do not have a navigable waterway, we have a very hazardous mouth of the river. A Coast Guard cutter cannot come in shore enough to render assistance. We have seen that recently, sailboats running aground and fishing boats running aground. So Rear Admiral Bromwich, United States Coast Guard, and to our Oregon congressional delegates, the Port of Owl Sea Board of Commissioners strongly opposes the closure of the Newport Coast helicopter base. The Port of Owl Sea includes almost all of South Lincoln County. Recreational tourism is the backbone of our community and of our economy. There are a multitude of federal and state parks in the area with access to miles of ocean beaches, which draw people from all over the world. Owl Sea Bay alone supports 50,000 boater use days per year. Although we have good support from the Central Coast Fire District inside Alsea Bay. There is no fast response to an accident or disaster outside the mouth of the river, other than our Coast Guard helicopter. Many lives have been saved because of the location of the Newport Coast Guard helicopter base, but lives have also been lost. We urge you to reconsider this closure. A closure of this magnitude would have a significant impact on our small community and likely on other small river communities along the coast. Thank you.
Let's go back and pick up some individuals. Yale Fogarty, Jay Bozovich, and Eric Sherman, please.
Hello, my name is Yale Fogarty. I'm a lifelong resident of Newport. You may recognize the last name from the park where the rescue took place. My family's been here since the 1800s, so we've been around for a while. We know some history. Clearly, we've lost some friends at sea. I'm also the president of ILWU Local 53 here in Newport, Oregon. Something that's been missed in this conversation is the Port of Newport, along with the taxpayers of the Port District, the state of Oregon, and the federal government have just invested probably over $30-some million, and they're about to return to international trade and commerce and large cargo vessels calling on East Buena Bay. So that is one more thing. The FAR pilots that will call here are much like they're in Coos Bay. They'll go out on a pilot boat, they'll jump on a Jacob's ladder, they'll climb up the side of the ship. If they fall in, an hour is not going to work. So I'm sure that you'll be hearing from them as well in their concerns for their safety. I'm also a former volunteer firefighter lieutenant with Newport Volunteer Fire Department. I was in that fire department for 14 years. I can tell you that Newport Fire Department has zero surf rescue capability. If there's any person in the surf, Newport Fire can do nothing more than stand there and try to keep an eye on them while they sink into the sea. You want to be a volunteer firefighter and have that feeling and know that the support should be there, and it's not. It's terrifying. And there's nothing they'll be able to do. The closest help will be your boats if they can't get to them. And let me tell you about the kinds of people that we're dealing with and why it's such a huge problem. More and more people are coming to the coast. More and more people are traveling within the United States. And there's one call that sticks out in my mind. Eating dinner one night, we get a phone call or we get a tap-out call for emergency call of someone trapped on the rocks on the South Jetty. We go out there, there are fingers sticking out from the jetty that control the tide and the sand. On the very end of the finger is a guy with a light. The rest of the finger is underwater. He's standing out there like, I don't know. Your rigid hold one got him. Not that it wasn't a helicopter rescue, but your rigid hold one picked the guy up. He brought him to us for evaluation. The guy's like, I don't get it. I was out there fishing. I walked out on the rocks. I was fishing. I had my lamp. I turned around and the rocks were gone. What happened? The tide came in. What's a tide? Seriously, what is a tide? So that's the kind of people that are getting trapped on rocks. Your directional finding is great if you have a radio beacon. Your directional finding is going to do nothing for somebody whose family is sitting on shore watching their child in a rip current going to sea, and there's nobody here that can help them. I really feel that there's nobody in this room today that's in a Coast Guard uniform that wants to see a life. And I believe that there is nobody here today that's in a Coast Guard uniform that would make this cut, knowing the amount of lives that they're going to be put at risk. Loggers, fishermen, that sort of thing. I've got to think that what's happened to the Coast Guard is that their mission has gotten lost in the fog of Homeland Security. And I think if the Coast Guard listens closely, they will hear a resounding sound coming through the fog from Lincoln County, Oregon, and it will bring the helicopter back home to the airport at Newport. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Eric Sherman. I don't have a prepared statement or anything, so I'm not going to be particularly poignant or meaningful. but I'm a journeyman electrician, and I worked for a local electrical contractor, and I wasn't intending to come here tonight until a couple hours before it showed up. I was on News Lincoln County, and I said, I'm going to go to that. And the reason I decided to come is because I'm kind of confused. And the reason I'm confused is about 2 months ago, at the beginning of August, my shop got a call from a contractor, a general contractor that was working at the Newport Coast Guard Air Facility, doing a lot of refurbishing on fuel tanks, fuel silos, a bunch of other stuff. They were sandblasting, repainting, doing, you know, refurbishing. The reason they needed us to come out there was to repair, replace a bunch of electrical controls and stuff that had gotten all rusted out. So what I'm confused about is, if budget issues are such a concern, why is the Coast Guard spending tens upon tens, I don't know how much the whole price tag of the whole project was, but thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to refurbish a facility that's going to get shut down 3 or 4 months later? That's all I got.
Going to take a little bit of a break in the action. I'd like to have Senator Wyden's office and then Senator Merkley's office and the governor's office kind of give some impressions of what they've been hearing so far, and then I will do likewise.
Good evening. My name is Fritz Graham. I work for Senator Wyden, covering Lincoln, Tillamook, and Clatsop County, among others. While the schedule unfortunately prevents the senator from being here tonight, he did ask me to read the following to you. Before I read this, I just want to say that the delegation did write a letter asking the commandant to reverse the decision of removing the air facility here. And that was Congressman Schrader, Senator Merkley, Senator Wyden, Congressman Bonamici, Congressman DeFazio, and Congressman Lunar. Okay, so my statement, Senator White's statement. The Newport community rightfully takes great pride in its dynamic growth. As you know, the Port of Newport has completed a multi-million dollar rebuilding of its international terminal. The city is home to one of the state's three deep draft ports, Oregon's largest commercial fishing fleet, NOAA's Pacific Fleet, the OSU research vessel, and a robust recreational and sport fishing industry. All that activity is why I was so stunned and disappointed by the Coast Guard's unilateral decision to shut down its facility here. This is literally a life or death issue, and the livelihoods of so many Oregonians depend on the Pacific Ocean. And I want to assure you that the fight is not over to reverse the Coast Guard's sudden and unexpected decision.
Hi, I'm Katie Gothier with Senator Jeff Merkley's office. Senator Merkley is very concerned about the safety of the Central Oregon Coast residents and visitors. We appreciate the Coast Guard agreeing to come to Newport and listen to your concerns, and hope that the impacts that you've heard tonight will have a change of the decision, and encourage the Coast Guard to delay or stop the closure of the Newport helicopter facility. Senator Merkley will continue to work with Senator Wyden and Congressman Schrader to make sure that community concerns are heard and advocate for delay or reversal of the decision. The safety of ocean users must be the highest priority. Senator Merkley will be in Newport later this week and will sit down with leaders of the opposition who are doing an amazing job of organizing a grassroots campaign to save the Hilo. Please contact me if you have any questions that we can try to get answers for, or if there's anything else that we can do to help. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Jackie Galonis, and I'm representing the governor's office tonight. And the governor couldn't be here this evening, did prepare a letter that he has submitted on record. I want to make sure that the letter is in the record. I didn't see it in the stack of written comments that were there, so I'll make sure that we have copies that you all can read. In the governor's letter, you'll hear reiterated what many of you have already stated tonight, but I just want to make sure for the record that it is heard. and also to state thank you so much for everyone that is here and to appreciate the collaborative relationship that the state does have with the U.S. Coast Guard that is imperative for not only all of Oregon, but as we learned the other day when we had our preparation meeting, for Southern Washington and Northern California as well. So even though this is an issue that impacts you locally and impacts Lincoln County and Lane County and Tillamook County, it's an impact for the entire state and for those other areas that rely on Coast Guard rescue as well. The governor stated, "I learned recently that within a matter of weeks, the United States Coast Guard intends to close its air facility in Newport, Oregon. The Coast Guard deemed aerial search and rescue capability from Newport to be a priority when the facility was approved in 1986, and the range and volume of maritime uses for that port have expanded dramatically since that time. He is very concerned this proposed November 30th closure could seriously compromise life safety off Newport in Oregon's cold and often treacherous waters. Newport's importance as a commercial fishing port equals that of Coos Bay and Astoria, where Coast Guard intends to maintain aerial operations. This closure would take effect on the cusp of the opening of Oregon's Dungeness crab season, the state's top value fishery, which the federal government has recognized as among the highest risk occupations. Newport launches thousands of recreational fishing trips, among them the recreational halibut fishery that can draw upwards of 500 boats in a single day, ranging 30 miles offshore. Similarly, the rapidly growing recreational albacore fishery sees boats traveling 20 to 70 miles offshore. When you add the home porting of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and Oregon State University's research fleet, the reopening of an international shipping terminal, and the many non-fishing recreational visitors drawn to waters off Newport, I am compelled to urge you to reconsider this decision that effectively cuts search and rescue capabilities. The state of Oregon enjoys a strong and collaborative working relationship with the U.S. Coast Guard, and we value your agency's vital role in ensuring we have safe and vibrant coastal communities. If you have any questions at all, please feel free to contact me or others in the governor's office, and we'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
All right, so let's talk about that. I want to tell you how impressed I am with the testimony and heartfelt thoughts that the community has put forward. I think that makes a difference. It makes a difference to me, anyway. I think it makes a difference to the Adam. I think this delegation, and frankly, your state delegation to governor's office, pretty clear that what we're seeing is totally unacceptable. I'm taking notes as we go through this. We're talking about lives, not dollars here. That's really the bottom line. And that gets lost in D.C. I can tell you that from personal experience. They don't focus on, unfortunately, the people. It gets to be a numbers game there. This standard across the country, I have a tough time understanding it. The waters here are totally different. You've testified, I think, very eloquently to that, than what we're seeing. I don't know if that's understood back there. I don't know. I mean, it was Ms. Beasley's story, and that's pretty graphic. That's pretty graphic. Those are the stories that I hope our delegation will be able to communicate poignantly to the Commandant in Washington, D.C. The tsunami zone thing, I think that has real credibility at the end of the day, and I don't know that that was completely taken into account. I hadn't thought about the logging aspect of this. It was brought up at one of the very beginning parts of the hearing. That's another super-duper hazardous profession. Unfortunately, the Coast has two of the most hazardous professions in the world here. I brought up about shoreside data. Maybe we should break down some of the data a little bit. The overall trend may be, quote, better. But when we have an increase in visitors here and some of the stuff that's going on, maybe we need to look at things a little more closely. And I personally think that I hope that we'll get to a point in our budgetary process where we can figure out where a homeland security emphasis is, where our search and rescue mission emphasis should be. And it's very different here on the coast than in New York City or down in maybe Miami, Florida. Here's what I think so far. We're going to take, Bob's going to take some more testimony and some more information later, and I'll add that to stuff I've got so far. My team is going to stay. Admiral's team is going to stay, too. But what I'm going to ask is that the Coast Guard delay this. We've already sent the letter. We've already sent the letter to tee this up so these guys know we're serious. We have some very powerful members of the delegation, both Senators Wyden on finance and Senator Merkley on appropriations. Hopefully, we'll be able to carry a little bit of weight in D.C. It doesn't always work out that way. But one of their other people there said, well, what can we do, you know? Well, you brought the dang NOAA fleet from Seattle down here. That's what you can do, and that's what you did. The petition sitting in front of me here, I'm going to take with me tonight. And I hope there's another 18,000 signatures, for gosh sakes. People, not just in this community, but up and down the coast, in the valley, that respect what's going on here. We're going to ask to delay this because there's been verbal communication, you know, it's unfortunate. It does happen, but it's unacceptable. They do not have all the information, I feel, we all feel, that to make these types of decisions. The budget, okay, fine. I will tell you this, a little inside baseball perhaps. This thing's supposed to close November 30th. Well, the budget for this year closes December 11th. We have to get the CR, continuing resolution. That stops us. We have to come up with a new budget anyway prior to next year. I'm going to do my darndest, and I know the rest of the delegation is going to do its darndest, to make sure that we get at least a delay to maybe keep some money in the budget so that the Admiral... and D.C. can make a better decision and allow this to go forward so we can get our input in and hopefully save the, you know, I hate to say it, in Washington, D.C. speak, $6 million to keep this helicopter here. I think there was good testimony about some of the money that's already being spent in other parts of the budget that don't compare to the lives that are at risk if this money doesn't get back in the budget. So we're going to work that angle really hard. I need your support. What you can do is continue to flood our offices in the Admiral's office with petitions like this and testimony like this. That is what brought the NOAA fleet to here. So I'm going to ask you to continue to do that. So that's our plan of attack right now. We'll take more information, more data points, other things we can do. Bob and my team, the Admiral's team, will get that. Let's take a 5-minute break. I have to visit the little boys right there. Thank you all.
First of all, from a personal standpoint, I want to indicate that I thought the caliber of the testimony tonight was just outstanding. I thought we delivered a very clear message to the Coast Guard and to our congressional delegation. So I want to personally congratulate all the speakers. I think they just did a tremendous job putting forth our point of view. Before we get started with the remaining speakers, I should indicate that Representative Streeter and Rear Admiral Gromlich both had to leave, but the proceedings of this meeting will be taped. A copy of that tape will be sent to Coast Guard headquarters and to the operational delegation. Before we get started with public testimony, I should say that there are resolutions from the City of Newport, Port of Newport, Lincoln County, Tillamook County, Coos County, North Lincoln Fire and Rescue, Hatfield OSU Marine Science Center, Newport Police Department, Newport Fire Department, Depot Bay Fire District, City of Waltport, Confederated Tribes of Siletz, and the Tillamook County Fire Board. But you may also indicated that the Port of Toledo will be tomorrow night coming up with a resolution supporting the retention of the air station here in Newport. Jenny, go ahead.
Now that they're gone.
Jenny, get that mic down a little bit lower.
We keep talking about $6 million savings. The $6 million covers two closures. I've been through the budget. It covers Newport and Charleston, so Newport might be closer to 3 million. I don't know what the figures for Newport are, but it's a smaller station. Two helicopters that rotate out of here are being reassigned to another part of the country. I don't personally see how you get savings out of taking two helicopters from here, keeping them in service, but elsewhere. Does that make any sense? That makes no sense to me. And then, of the three remaining helicopters at North Bend, one will be held in storage. It'll be there, but two will be ready. That's a significant cut. That's the entire coast, Northern California, and Southern Washington, is what that translates to. So, $3 million, not six. I thought you said you're going to have one kind of in storage. Okay, so you have three. That's fine. But budget savings don't translate to me if they're operational someplace else. They still cost $3 million to operate, I guess.
Thanks, Jenny. The next three people to testify are Tracy Shaw, Rob Murphy, and Robert Waddell, in that order. Tracy here?
Yep.
Okay, thank
you. Shh. Good evening. I'm Tracy Shaw, the fire chief of the Rock Fire District. We want to keep the helicopter here in Newport also. I want to take you back a couple years where I had just arrived working up here from Southern Oregon, and we had a sailboat that ran aground off the coast of Waldport. We operate jet skis, and we take our personal watercraft out past the surf line. Basically, we go from deep water to the shore. And the sailboat ran aground, and the operator had no idea he could be so far from the coast and run aground. But that's how the sand is in Waldport. This happened right at dusk, and our jet skis have no lights on them whatsoever. Thank goodness for the helicopter from the Coast Guard. It cycled overhead and lit up that scene for us. And we took four souls off of that boat and brought them to shore where they comfortably spent the night. The Coast Guard wanted them off the boat because they didn't know if the fiberglass boat would break up in the surf being ground like that. So we brought them to shore, they spent the night there and went on their way the next morning at high tide. Without the Coast Guard, we couldn't have effectively removed those people from that boat and whatever happened with that. And so, that's just one case that I'd like to relate to everybody that's what happened in my neck of the woods. And we had a 17-year-old boy just a month or two ago that got into the surf. Him and his brother were body surfing, and they caught a rip current, took him out, and it was less than 10 minutes that we were there and pulled him out of the water with severe hypothermia. And he was hospitalized for 2 days with recovering from the hypothermia and aspirating pneumonia. So the timeline isn't exactly accurate for hypothermia from the standards for our coastline. And once again, Seal Rock Fire District wants to support having the helicopter here in Newport. Thank you very much.
Good evening. My name is Ron Murphy. I'm the fire chief for Newport Fire Department and Newport Rural Fire Protection District. You've heard a lot of testimony tonight. You've heard a lot of testimony from other fire chiefs and first responders. So I'm not going to go over, again, what you've already heard. What I simply want to say is that, you know, when I thinking about everybody testifying tonight, I was thinking about what we do. You folks are rescuers, as members of the Coast Guard, we're rescuers. Your mission is a little bit different than ours, but we go on the same sort of instance. And, you know, I think about that unique relationship. Search and rescue and saving people's lives is generally the responsibility for local government, county government, state government. Federal government does not normally do that, except for the Coast Guard and your search and rescue mission. And for local agencies and local government, we have limited budgets just like the federal government does, and we have to prioritize. What do we spend our money on? And we, rightly so, prioritize public safety as our number one priority. With U.S. Coast Guard search and rescue being one of the only life safety missions, I don't understand why the federal government would not make that one of its highest priorities. And I would just like to say, the last thing I'll say is, from one rescuer to another, what I would ask you is, how much is a life worth? Thank you.
Hello, I'm Robert Waddell, and my family has owned the Port of Trade Winds for 45 years in the charter industry. And our charter office alone pick out 10,000 people a year. And there's seven port charter offices in Newport, and there's three charter offices in Depot Bay. And there's several private charter boats that I don't know the exact number for. And the recreational fleet dwarfs us. It would be pretty reasonable to think or to know that there's over 100,000 recreational and sport charter fishing people that go out a year between Newport and Depot Bay. It's already also known that it's the largest commercial fleet port in Oregon. The numbers speak for itself. Thank you. The next three speakers will be Mark Marks, Kendra Cottrell, and Robert Keller.
Good evening, I'm research biologist Mark Marks. I'm Newport's white shark biologist. I'm a former Army Ranger. I know there's no uniformed member of this panel that doesn't know the value of a Coast Guard PJ or rescue swimmer. By losing the Hilo, we also lose that trained mission. Those specific members that go into the water retrieve divers. I work in the field underwater, working with large sharks. My injuries are not hypothermia. We're talking about hypothermia shock. People that bleed out within minutes. And how is response time? We'll never play. We need assets on the ground here in Newport that within minutes can deploy and get to these sites. I can't fathom the logic here. Budgetary constraints can't be it alone. In Latin, it's pay bono. Who benefits? It just seems like the, isn't the creed so that others may live? I just think there's a small part of the scientific community that goes out and conducts really vital biological and environmental research. And we know that the Coast Guard is watching our six. You guys leave, we know where we're going. And we're not all out there just to make a living. Some of us do this as a passion because we believe in science as well. So I would just like to second those that have come before me saying, please keep our Hilo here. Representatives, go back to Washington. It's not acceptable. It's our tax dollars as well. Thank you.
My name's Kendrick Cottrell. I'm a commercial fisherman. I think Vinny saying that something like pulling a rabbit out of a hat into keeping the helicopter here, and I believe it can be done. All you have to do is go back into the history, but in the history there's also some iron. In the 80s, there was a tremendous loss of life in the Caribbean Sea. That led the Coast Guard and the Congress to work together to pass laws and implement rules and regulations, such as e-perbs, personal flotation devices, rafts, and supply vessels. Now, you guys went up against a very tough atmosphere, very stubborn, very fiercely individual, and that was commercial fishermen. And you won. And I thank you for that, because many of us have been saved because of those devices. But in doing so, you are now taking the one thing away that actually makes those things relevant, the helicopter. All those are due to bias time. The helicopter is what actually saves us out of the water. But I believe it can be done, because as I said, history showed that it can be done. People have talked about crabbing and commercial fishery. I'll be one of the faces. I have a 40-foot boat that I run. It's 40 foot long, 16 feet wide. I carry 100 crab pots. They're 120 pounds apiece. I have 64 hours to get all 300 crab pots in the water. That sounds feasible, but I'm driving 5 hours to the grounds, hour and a half, dumping pots, pot every 40 seconds. Then I'm driving back 5 hours. It's all fine and dandy. Maybe 35, 40 hours of no sleep. That's how my season starts. Last year, I got a nap. Seas came up to 19 foot and closed the bar. Water temperatures last year, people were saying, I believe they were talking about the 50s, low 50s. I saw water temperatures low to the 40s. Along with that, the helicopter taking an hour, that's a straight line from Astoria, North Bend to Newport. That can change whether slow it up or if it's in the air, that might be a little faster. I have a fishing. I'm 12, I'm 15 miles offshore in the river. Guys in the mud, they're 20, 25 miles. And when we get in the water, we're not normally toasty. We've been battling cold winds, 30, 25, 30, 35 knot cold southerly winds. So we're already half frozen cold going into the water. So our time is that much less. Let me see here. I guess another thing to bring up is the decision that was made. Probably by the person who looked at it and decided that it was the easiest way to go about this. A very wise man, long in years, that once said, just because it's easy doesn't necessarily mean it's right. What we need to do is make the right decision. If they were more than willing to ask, there are plenty of us here who are more than willing to help you. Any way possible to help keep the helicopter here. Thank you very much.
Dennis Bishop. I think the Coast Guard helicopter is a must here. The survival time at sea at best is maybe 30 minutes when you hit the water here. And the difference between Coos Bay to come down here in Newport, hour, hour and a half, you're not going to be here. It goes from a SAR mission to a recovery mission. No two ways about it. The other thing nobody brought up, the weather difference. 100 miles, you might leave there, it's blowing 35, by the time you get here, it's blowing 50, you're going into it, your fuel levels are low, your time's going to be low, it may take, instead of an hour, is anticipated, it might take an hour 45, because you're fucking the wind all the way. Totally changes your time, and the weather differences in 100 miles are great. Big difference in what you're going to do when you get here. Next, the government's regulators with all the safety equipment, gotta have all this stuff. Safety's the number one priority, they say. Get all this equipment, put it on the boat, train our guys. The only safety net we got is that helicopter, you pull it out from under us and leave us on a tightrope out there going, man, give us all this equipment to use. Now we use it out there, but there's nobody to come get us. You know, it's taken away. It's been hypocritical of what you guys have said. That's our first issue. Keep them safe. We got the stuff. We're training for it, and they can take it away from us. The one thing that we're using all this stuff that's going to bring us home, the helicopter. A lot of these people, too, aren't just fishermen. They're the charter vessel that you hear. They're outnumbered 3-1. They have no gear whatsoever, no training whatsoever, absolutely no idea how to survive the sea. Next, hang on a sec. Most of our guys are here just trying to make a living in an industry that's already hazardous. And it's just going to make it more hazardous if you take that helicopter away from us. In the closure time, it couldn't be any worse if they planned on it to be at worst case scenario at the start of crab season. So not a matter of if we would lose a guy, it's a matter of you guys are putting a nail on somebody's coffin if you're closing at the start of the season. The three most deadly days are dump days, start of the season. And the timing couldn't be any worse, no matter how you time it. That's absolute worst case scenario that you guys could ever put on the fishermen. And again, like they said, just the time they get them people off the rock and on a rock, that made the difference. The flying time from there, they wouldn't have been here. Would you guys do that to your kids, leave them out there because of a budget cut? The dollar's not worth what it's going to bring on, and that's the lives that we're going to lose. And the fishing fleet here, how many people it will cost. Because these people here aren't numbers to us. They're our family, our friends, our brothers, our dads, the people we grew up with. And it's not about dollars. It's about we were supposed to go out here and be safe. That's what you guys wanted us to be. We're trying to be. Now you're taking our lifeline away from us. Thanks.
Next three speakers are Sylvia Pauley, Alan Hossegel, Lindsay Clark.
Greetings, I'm Sylvia Pauley. I'm a groundfish observer out of Newport. The West Coast Groundfish Observer Program, the biologists, the fishermen have to take. My coworkers and I collect biological information for NOAA fisheries managers. And I'm sure I speak for all of them in saying that we have a personal bias in keeping all the air stations open. The lives you save could be ours. My bias is for Newport. I've worked out of Newport 10 and a half years. I stopped counting last year after 800 sea days. So our lot is thrown in with these commercial fishermen. But I would also encourage you to look at the other assets the Coast Guard does provide and how valuable a resource it is. They assist with drug enforcement, looking for illicit activity out at sea. True, we've lost the war on drugs, but perhaps we should put up some sort of a pretense and do our best out there. It has got to be a benefit to Homeland Security to have a helicopter in the Central Oregon coast. There's also an asset to fisheries enforcement. They can check and see if a boat in the exclusion zones are fishing or perhaps just accidentally drifting through. I know they also keep a lookout for entangled whales and support the Marine Mammal Protection Act and the international sites in that regard. Our country manages to come up with millions of dollars for farm bills. Why? Well, because farmers bring food to the country and spur the economy. While Newport commercial fishermen bring hundreds of millions of pounds of seafood to our country and support the economy, and they don't ask for a lot. In the face of continued regulation and restrictions, having an air support base in Newport isn't asking so much. There's also the life-saving aspect. Whether it's a toddler north of Hasita Head in the woods, or a logger bleeding out 10 miles inland, a marine emergency with a vessel going down, somebody on the rocks, a sport guy who's found himself in the bay, those are the primary assets of the Coast Guard. My mom asked, well, how come we can afford in this country to launch a fighter craft off an aircraft carrier every single minute during a military operation 2 weeks ago, but we can't afford a few million dollars to keep an air station open that provides so many diverse and direct benefits to the citizens of Oregon and to this country? And she had a valid point. So I would encourage the bean counters in Washington to look at all the benefits that the Coast Guard does provide to the Central Coast and urge them to find the money, keep the helicopters here rather than send them off to other parts of the country, and keep Newport's air station open.
Captain and panel members, my name is Alan Holzapfel. My wife and I are residents of Cascade Head Ranch, overlooking the Salmon River Bar. Salmon River Estuary is heavily used by fishermen and crabbers, kayakers, boaters, and other recreational watercraft. Many are using Knight Park County Boat Ramp for access to the ocean. Consequently, we have personally witnessed several rescues from Cascade Head and the Three Rocks area. My apologies to the local Coast Guard personnel, who are the ones actually responsible for providing the all-important life-saving mission, to have to bear the brunt of our public outrage over the proposed Newport Air Facility closure. Indeed, other than Admiral Gromich, where are the Coast Guard staffers who put this ill-thought idea together? They are the ones that should hear and take into account results of their personal action. As a former search and rescue helicopter pilot, I would be pleased to take issue with the budget data supporting this proposed action. But even without access to it, I can certainly state that the increased response time to Cascade Head, the Three Rocks area, and Newport from either North Bend or Astoria would not only increase fuel costs for each response, but would provide a much reduced time on station for any rescue attempt, as has been pointed out by several people before me. I fully support Ms. Etter's suggested budget review items as taking a sharp look at the Coast Guard budget and see if you can cut out some of that fat, because it certainly sounded pretty fat to me. But the whole issue has already been most eloquently set forth by Ms. Lori Tobias in the 17 October issue of the Oregon Coast Today. And I would like to here enter into the written testimony a copy of her article, which says in part, with regard to trying to convince the local citizens of the estimated $6 million savings, Ms. Tobias says, and I quote, "I'd say, save your breath. It's ignorant, it's insulting, and it seems to ignore the fact that every year the helicopter crew saves a half a dozen or more lives and on average is dispatched close to 50 times. Thank you."
Born and raised here. I didn't come to prepare to speak. I am coming as a mama bear. My son has been commercial fishing for 19 years in the Bering Sea and Alaska and here in Oregon. And I love it when I'm here in Newport and I hear a helicopter. I feel, and I know my son is out there, I feel safe. I feel like my son is going to be taken care of because of the Coast Guard helicopters. And another thing that I think of is I don't want to see at the state park the Fisherman's Memorial or the Fisherman's Walk. I don't want to see more plaques because of lack of helicopter here in Newport. Thank you.
Next three speakers are Terry Apteska, Mike Pettis, and Bruce Mead.
Terry, you here?
Yes.
Great.
Yes, my name is Terry Apteska. I'm a Newport resident, small business owner, commercial fisherman, and I also respond to Grandpa. I'm here on behalf of the commercial fishermen, the sport fishermen, and all the ocean users because I'm opposed to this decision. I also served 4 years in the United States Coast Guard, so I can relate to your mission. 18 months on the Coast Guard cutter stores out of Kodiak, Alaska. I did search and rescue, medevacs, fishery enforcement in the Bering Sea. So I have some history of what you put up with. This is the first time in my life I've seen where the Coast Guard has put budget concerns above saving lives and property at sea. I'm hoping when the Coast Guard was put under the Homeland Security, that search and rescue and saving lives is not taking second place to other issues. Perhaps a few less armored vessels given to police departments and giving the money to the Coast Guard to keep the helicopter here would be a better choice. This decision is short-sighted, and it will most likely result in the loss of life. I ask the Coast Guard to step back and just look at, since the helicopter was stationed in Newport, how many lives had actually been saved. And I think you can pretty well quantify that. Well, at least to those families that have their loved ones home at night, they think the $6 million or $3 million, whatever it is, it was worth spending. They could be looking at the whole Homeland Security budget, $6 or $3 million, probably is pocket change. And I just ask you to reevaluate. Of course, you've heard this many times. It's home to Oregon's largest offshore fishing fleet. During the summer months, thousands of fishermen come down to fish sport fishing off of Newport. And this is just a Newport issue. They come from all over the state and other states. They come to Newport because we got a great sport fishery. They fish halibut, tuna, salmon, rockfish, crabs. They need you here in case they run into any dangerous situations. As far as I can tell, this is not a budget issue. It's a safety issue. Thank you. Semper Paratus.
Hello. My name is Mike Pettis. I'm a commercial fisherman here for nearly 40 years. My father built boats in the local area and commercial fish as well. My son is a commercial fisherman, and very likely one or two of his boys will be commercial fishermen. My family has three generations of gratitude for the job done by the U.S. Coast Guard, and especially for the men and women stationed in Quinn Bay. Through my career, there's been a lot of advancements in safety equipment. My boats had e-perbs, survival suits, life rafts before they were required. But now they are required. They're required because it increases our likelihood of surviving a disaster. We're required to update the equipment in our life rafts. We're required to change our hydrostatic releases. The life rafts themselves cost thousands of dollars, and we spend hundreds of dollars per boat updating this equipment on an annual basis. All give us a better chance of survival. Money spent by hundreds of boats spending thousands of dollars apiece give us a better chance of survival. We do drills, required drills. We go to classes. All to increase the likelihood of our survival. At sea, we get boarded by cutters. They come aboard and they check to make sure that we're in compliance with the requirements for safety equipment. Seems a bit ironic that a guy might be boarded maybe a couple times, maybe even three times in a year by a vessel making sure that you've spent the money and you've done what you're supposed to do in in order to ensure your best chance at survival. And then remove a helicopter that is, in fact, your best chance at survival. We've spent the money. We've done the drills. It's time for you folks to look at things. Maybe we could do some shoreside boardings. Maybe one of those cutters could be tied up in the fuel and the men that are on it. Instead of having them out there boarding us multiple times at sea, perhaps we could use that money to keep this air station here in the local community. You've heard considerable testimony about how it is a huge benefit to us. Thank you.
My name is Bruce Mate. I am a professor of fisheries and wildlife at Oregon State University, a director of the Marine Mammal Institute at Hatfield Marine Science Center, and I go to sea every year. My specialty is whales and other marine mammals. I've lived on the Oregon coast for 46 years, 39 of those here in Newport. And a lot of the people you're hearing testifying are my friends, family, church members, and people I appreciate very much. I have researchers and students that are well-trained and go to sea every year, do their jobs. We're pretty cognizant of what safety at sea is about. We take a lot of training and pride in that. You folks have helped us out an awful lot with that. This last summer, our 85-foot research vessel, Pacific Storm, heard a Mayday call off Southern California, a populated area. And we were lucky to be within a mile and a half of a 75-foot fiberglass boat that caught fire. We got there just in the nick of time. The vessel burned the waterline in 8 minutes. We got three people out of the water. You guys can't be everywhere, but we really hope you can be here. When it's really a lot of boats and a lot of people who need you. It's hard not to get emotional about this because we've all lost friends. I'm also an instrument-graded pilot, and actually I go to sea and look for small and large mammals of different sort. But I know firsthand how difficult that is to spot things from the air. And I'm very grateful for the fact that you're in something that hovers and doesn't just zoom by. Every year we do training with our students, throw a head-sized object off the back of the boat and watch how quickly it disappears from view. It only takes a couple hundred yards and it's lost to sea. Time is the enemy. It's a real enemy for all of us out there. My wife's a retired registered nurse, specialized in intensive care. And when people come in from the ocean, there's a slogan in the hospital. You aren't dead until you're warm and dead. Because hypothermia takes so many people. That helicopter's main mission of getting people to the hospital quickly, where they can be under professional treatment and get them warm and alive. I deal with budgets, government budgets, a fair bit. It's disingenuous to say that the president's budget or the federal budget cut this out. Let's really be honest. Agencies elect the things that they want to have disappear to make their balanced budget. I'm sorry, the Coast Guard has to take responsibility for this particular decision. This is not a partisan issue. This is a matter of safety. And it's a matter of humanitarian treatment. You folks have to find a way to move upstream in your decision process and help us find a way to keep this helicopter. OMSI is just about ready to launch a program in this community. It's going to bring students from the valley and elsewhere to come and learn about the sea. A lot of young, naive kids. The Marine Science Center is about ready to launch a marine studies initiative for up to 500 students to get a chance to learn a marine career here along the Central Oregon coast. Some of those kids are going to be remarkably naive. And even with our best training, there are going to be some of them that make mistakes. That helicopter, again, is a major key to
seen some of those kids come back alive when they have problems. So as an ocean user, an employer who sends folks to sea, and a friend and neighbor of Central Coast Fishery, I urge you to help us. That helicopter belongs here, where it will do most good. Thank you.
Three will be Dak Wilde, Bill Bain, and actually Maynard signed as a boat name, Last Straw. Maynard, you here? Dan. But Dak, there's Dak.
Hey, Ron. My name is Dak Wilde. I guess I've been a native here since 1972. Was born here. My kids were raised a family here. And the Coast Guard is, along with the ocean, have been a very integral part of our existence here. We love the ocean. We love Newport. I guess everybody has said everything that I was going to say very eloquently. And there's no sense in me repeating that. But one thing that hasn't been said more is how much we appreciate the Coast Guard being here. Thank you. And I guess in closing, I won't take too much more time. Is that done? I think everybody, as they drive home, should think about folks that we've lost. And without the Coast Guard chopper, perhaps, maybe more likely, the folks that we will lose. And you could also ponder the $7 million that they're going to be spending for a small arms shootout down there in Virginia. God damn, I hope they enjoy it. Thank you.
Good day. My name is Sergeant Wessel Lewis, United States Marine Corps. Two tours combat duty for this country. And in the Marine Corps, we always leave no man left behind. I'm a commercial fisherman, and right now I honestly feel like the Coast Guard is leaving me behind. I'm not a captain, as other captains have spoken. I'm a deckhand. I'm the working man. I'm the ones whose lives you save every year. By some accident of falling off a boat, by some accident of maybe the captain just wasn't in his right mind. I would really love to see the representatives of the congressman and the senator and the governor please stand up. I'd really love to see that, if possible. See, is there anyone here that's listening to this, Francis? Anyone? Please stand up. So your constituents can see you. So they know who to talk to when. I'm looking for this. We had a congressman here. All right, and he said that he's leading representative though. So, ladies and gentlemen, please notice that. Oh, you're the representative? Okay. Please know that I want to ask you and the senator and the governor, are you all sentencing me to die? Because without these gentlemen here, I will die. If not me, my fellow deckhands will die. We won't last an hour in that water. There's no way. We're lucky to last 10 minutes in that water. If you take them away from us, we are dead. Please tell your representative that. Keep them here by hook or crook. If you need us to pay more money in taxes, we're glad we do it. I pay taxes every year, and I pay more and more just to keep them here. He left us without hearing us finish what we had to say. Tell him, if he lets them go away from us, he's killing me.
The last three speakers are Jadena Taylor, Jesse Burrows, and Marvin Penn, or Sandy, I guess. Jadena Taylor? Okay, Marvin, you got it.
I'm Marvin Sattis. I've sailed our ocean for 20 years. The 30-foot sloop Harmony has sailed out of Newport for 7 years. One of our ancient teachers says, the judgment of a village is never wrong. We've seen a village speak here tonight, and I think we've lost sight of defense. You know, we have this technology with these highly trained soldiers, or trained as soldiers, but trained, highly skilled lifesavers, and this technology to take off and go out there and pick somebody up. I mean, that comes from the defense industry, but I think we've lost sight of defense if we can't save somebody's life. You know, in the Portland Police Department, recently they were delivered two, I think they're called urban assault vehicles. And the Portland Police Watch people are, they're not even sure what those things are for. The police department isn't even sure who's going to maintain. I guess it takes a crew to run them. But anyway, they got these things delivered. Now, what the heck that expense is? We're losing sight of what defense is. If that isn't defense out there, what are we spending this money on? It's something really important to do. And you know, these guys, these highly trained, you know, it makes me proud when I see these guys suit up and show up. And the miracle of that technology, but we gotta use it for this. If we're not gonna use it for this, it's kind of crazy to have. So anyway, thanks,
fellas. Harry Thompson.
Thank you for coming. And Commissioner helped organize part of this with the city and the port. I want to look at the Coast Guard. When this base was first started, Fitzpatrick was the commander. Fitzpatrick, when I walked in and told him that we were wanted a helicopter here, he said, it'll never happen. I said, look at me. I know this community. I know the wives of the fishermen. Don't fight with it. Just decide where it's going to go. Today, I'm going to make one comment to you. Don't get in a fight with this community. Bring it back now. Save yourself some money and some grief, because we will get what we intend to go for. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who hasn't testified who would like to testify? And now is the time. Come on up.
Can you hear me? All right. My name is Jesse Burrows, and I've been a lifelong resident of Depot Bay. And I thought, you guys know the anchor by the whale watching?
Yeah.
Have you read the plaque, what it says? Would you like to know what it says? To the sons and daughters of Depot Bay, the courage to succeed. The sea is dangerous, and the storms terrible.
but the obstacles have never been sufficient reason to remain ashore. It is with an iron will that they embark on the most daring of all endeavors to meet the shadowy future without fear and conquer the unknown, in memory of Richard Staunton. I feel that fishing has been a proud heritage, and we honor our dead. We have a long whaling hall full of flowers and full of commemorations. We have the fleet of flowers every year. We go out every year to honor every single fisherman, every single family member that we have lost. Lasting tradition. We never know if these people will come home, but we go on with courage and with pride, knowing that the traditions and the commerce and the sustenance fishing we bring in outweighs the risk. We give our lives. We provide the products you enjoy in our local restaurants and beyond. I personally have seen three men go down into the winter waters, and the only reason they say we're safe is because of the helicopter who came in and rescued them, or they would have died of hypothermia. Depot Bay happens to be one of the most channels to pass through. Without the copter, I don't feel that we will be having this phenomenal fleet of flowers. I think we will be taking boat after boat after boat full of flowers. I think that the helicopter that does drop the reef, they'll be dropping about 4, 5, 6 of them for each person and each life that is lost. Not just between the fishermen that work here, the whale watching boats that are here, but also because of the unwitting visitors that just do not know the dangers of our beaches. So you are not only putting our lives at risk, people that have lived here our whole lives and that are just trying to make a living, but also our fellow guests that come here looking for a vacation, looking for beautiful beaches that they've never seen before. And now here we are losing something that I think could destroy a huge part of what we have built since we first settled the coastline. We don't leave a man behind. We save them. Who's going to get there when somebody falls in the water? Hypothermia takes minutes. We're winter fishermen. Another boat will not get there in time. So what will we do? We will be losing our sons, our husbands, our sisters, our mothers. How many lives will it take to bring this talk about?
Could you give us your name, please? The last person testifying.
My name is Jesse Burroughs.
Interesting story. We were here at 2 o'clock this afternoon preparing for this meeting, and Jesse, who I think is a student here at Oregon Coast Community College, was sitting at one of the tables studying. And we kind of overwhelmed her with our presence and sat down at her table and took some of the space. And the more we talked, the more interested she got in coming tonight to testify. So we really appreciate you taking the time away from your studies to be here tonight. Jesse, thank you. I've been asked to sum it up, and I'll try to do that. Before I do that, I'd like to add a couple of my own comments. I fished for 40 years, Bering Sea, Alaska, Oregon, Washington Coast. And I fished some pretty tough weather. But the tough weather is there one day, gone one day. The toughest thing for me over the 40 years I fished is the accidental deaths in the fishing industry. They haunt you, they stick with you forever. When David Jenks got up as the first speaker, he talked about losing his brother, Skeeter.
I remember the day, I remember what I was doing, remember where I was at, remember who I heard from. When Michelle Eddy stood up shortly later, talking about losing her son again, exactly where I was at. When Lady Walport stood up, and I don't generally get emotional, but I do on this topic. The lady stood up and talked about the loss of life in their family. An accident on the LC Bay Bar. I knew exactly where I was at when that happened. And I think about it this day. You know, especially when we're very competitive. But when it comes to safety, we'll drop anything we're doing when we're on a board seat and run to those who are caught. And we've expected the same out of safety. Our best chance for survival, as Mike said, is training, which we all do, having good equipment, which we all have, and the Coast Guard. We've always depended on the Coast Guard. As Mike could have said, the Coast Guard helicopter is our best chance for survival. Today, we're talking about not having a Coast Guard air facility here in Newport. Terribly skewed decision, in my opinion, one that I hope we can reverse. And I should indicate to the Coast Guard that, based on what was said here tonight and all the testimony I hear around town, we have not yet, as citizens, written the obituary for this air station. First volley fired across the bow, and you'll hear more from us. As Terry Thompson said, we're a very aggressive group. We've got a great group of fishermen's wives here. And to the congressional staff, obviously we're going to lean very heavily on you in this instance because we need your help. Without that, we probably don't go anyplace. So, once again, I want to talk about, or just comment on the caliber of presentations here tonight. I thought it was outstanding. Congratulations to all of you. I think we made our point. I'm not sure where we go from here, but you did hear the representative before he left say, keep the emails coming, keep the petitions coming, keep this in the forefront so that we recognize that you continue to be concerned about the loss of this air facility. And as Terry said, I think you'll see it back here. Thank you.